A nature trail is more than a path. It's a place for weekend laughter, moments of self-reflection, or a much-needed breath of fresh air. With All Trails Plus, you can plan your next hike, ride, or run with confidence, so you can relax and enjoy the journey. All Trails Plus gives you all the info you need in one place, so you can make the most of your time outdoors. Quickly discover new trails near you and spend less time driving and more time on the trail with the Distance Away feature. And get immersive trail previews and 3D views so you know what to expect before your first step. Want to go where cell service can't? Download the map to keep your route in hand and never get lost, even offline. You can even get alerts if you take an unexpected turn. There's a trail out there for everyone. Get outside today with 3 free months of All Trails Plus. Just use code PODCAST23 at alltrails.com/podcast. That's 3 months free at alltrails.com/podcast with code PODCAST23.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the Microsoft Theater here in downtown Los Angeles, brought to you by Sean Porter Promotions.
Check one. Yeah, we good.
You want, no.
Yeah. Hey, man, I always wanted to ask you, you know.
You said I always wanted to ask you, like, there ain't nothing you don't ask me. Like, you've been always wanting to ask this.
Like, I can't call you?
Yeah, like, you can't just text me.
Hey, man, when you came out for the Spence fight, man, you meant business. Has that been the focus you ever been for a fight? Locked in? You knew you was coming to fight? Like, Mike Tyson tells a story about when he fought Evander Holyfield. Evander knew he was in for a fight. I think down the road, Errol Spence will tell a story that when he looked in your eyes, he knew you was ready to fight.
I did. I think that probably was the most focused, the most, like, game, the most, the best feeling I had, like, coming out to a fight. Might have been Errol Spence,
Believe it or not, hey, sometimes when I watch that fight, I rewind that, like, over and over.
That's a nice.
Over and over. Good. I rewind that, like, over and over. That
just the intro?
Because I see you're ready to fight.
Yeah.
And nobody knew that was coming but us.
Yeah.
You know, because we knew nobody believed in us.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. But I just remember that night. And I said, one day down the road, Earl Smith's going to tell a story about the toughest fight he ever fought was Sean Porter. And he knew our focus.
And, you know, I guess, like, to his defense or whatever, and even for myself, there's been so many fights that I've had that I didn't really realize until I got enough separation from a moment or from a fight to realize, you know, what my true emotions were, what my true state of mind was, or, you know, what at certain points in certain fights, if, you know, certain things had happened. So it may take him just some time to get away from the fight. And you would think that that fight was in 2019. How much longer does he need to take to get away from the fight? He's still active.
Yeah.
So. He don't got time to look in his rearview mirror.
And worry about that.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he's still very active. I never realized much of what I've done until people look at me and say, yeah, you did this, you did that. I'm like, dang, like I did, you know?
And I mean, all credit to Errol Spence. He showed greatness that night.
Yeah.
He came out on top, but it was greatness on greatness. And I mean, yeah, I would have loved for y'all to run it back, but you know, it is what it is. Life moves on and he's in the, possibly, I mean, it's, if you have to put a, whoa, what the heck? If you had to put a number on it, what is it?
A lot of balloons.
80% to 90% done?
Who?
The Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford fight. Oh, we can't speak on that.
Oh,
all right, cool. All right, so yeah.
I know
it's in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know that.
I think the boxing world, they do a, and I was asked this on the radio show just on Friday.
Uh-huh.
I think the boxing world does a good job at creating the moments, but they also do they hurt themselves and they work against themselves in the process of trying to make these moments so great. And so, for instance, someone asked me, you know, why is it taking so long for the fight to get announced? And why is it taking so long for this thing to start being promoted? I said, if both fighters know that they want to fight each other, you should have been promoting this fight. You should have been had both of these guys going on Sway in the Morning and all these different shows, Big Tig down in Atlanta. Like, get these guys around the country
the
talking about
Club,
this fight,
everywhere.
Calling each other out, saying why, you know, hey, this is what you can say and what you can't say, but go out there and do it. and get people excited about the fight. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the boxing world does do a disservice by not giving information to certain people who hold a position in athletics or in the public eye to help promote and show what's coming. You know what I mean?
And I think, the word is November, but like you said, it's time, because it's going to get to a point where those guys ain't going to want to travel and do all that promoting. We're locked in. It's time to go. It's to the point they don't even talk about the fight. Yeah. Both of them like, hey, man, tell it's signed, sealed, delivered. Yeah. I'm not saying nothing.
Yeah.
It's to that point. I was
like that.
Yeah.
I would talk about fights, who I would want to fight and things of that nature. But if it wasn't signed, the thing was you felt that, or it was portrayed that if you say the wrong thing, it could stop the fight from happening. So just don't say anything at all. You know, and that's why even when we had Crawford on for the 100th episode, I said, hey, what can we say and what can we not say? I don't want to put you on and then you're caught in the moment and you either jump at it because you don't want to, you know, not look like you know what's mm-hmm. going on or vice versa. And, you know, so people just don't want to look bad and all that kind of stuff. And that's why it takes so long for these fights to get promoted. The best thing that can be done right now is, you just talk about it. You just keep reminding everyone of what's coming. We got on this show and we just started talking. So let's pull it back real quick. We want to thank Blue Wire Studios. We're right here at the Wynn Hotel and Casino. You ever in Las Vegas on a Sunday around that noon hour, 1 to 2 o'clock, come on through. We got a window right here. You can't come in, but we have a window. We'll wave. But just like them right there, we'll wave. And then you just keep on moving just like they did. So you're more – this is an open welcome for you to come.
You can welcome to sit out there, man. Sean, you don't got to leave. Sean, wow.
Yeah, no, it's a speaker right here. You can hear it and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, no, it's all good. But we started a little late because we're still waiting on the boxing voice to get here.
Yeah.
They're moving just a little behind.
A little traffic, they'll be here in a second.
Raiders here today?
Raiders not here today. A little traffic, though. Vegas weekend, you know, Vegas Sundays, you know. Hey, do we want to tell a story about that time? If you've ever been to Vegas and you're from L.A. or Southern California and you tried to drive from Vegas to Southern California on a Sunday, you know it's hectic, right? I mean, just shake your head. Yeah, I can't see you, but yeah, shake your head. Sean Porter one time, he hit me up. He said, hey, man.
Why you got to say my whole name? This is a true story.
Hey, I'm going.
We going to San Diego.
No. This is when you and your wife went to the Laker game, and you were stuck
in
the
car. Man, that was so long ago.
Yeah, I don't care. How long was you stuck in the car? Like 8 hours, right? Crazy.
Yeah. That was so long ago, though. I thought you was talking about that time, because that time makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
So we driving to San Diego, and everybody's leaving early in the morning.
Story.
Oh, God, Lord. I thought we was done with that one. That was like cut and dry.
My story is you don't leave Vegas on a Sunday. So I'm saying why Nestor's when Ringwalk Danny's running late. Low traffic in Vegas on a Sunday. You don't leave Vegas and go to Southern California on Sunday. You're looking at 6 to 8 hours, possibly.
Yeah.
San Diego. We went to San Diego. We went to San Diego. It was a family trip,
and
right?
I think you knew what was going on, like, for the jump.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Sean tried to play me, man. Not knowing I've been friends with Sean forever.
And like 15 minutes away from me is where we stay. We stay about 15 minutes away from one another. And so I thought I could time it up to where he's on the highway going past my exit and I'm getting on the highway. And then boom, we just like a train, we just connect and we make the drive together. But my host hoe was moving a little slow in the morning. He ended up leaving like 30 minutes, 45 minutes before me.
But tell him what you told me. When I was going down, I'm down the street picking up your sister-in-law. And you say, hey, just come over here. I said, no. What's the point coming over there? We're going to the same spot. He says, come over. We're running a little behind.
Come
over here. I said, nope. Got on the roll and start rolling. Sean Porter's so competitive.
I said, oh, you ain't going to come over here. Okay.
Yeah. So he, in his mind, at this point, I'm piled. When Sean gets on the road, I'm 80 to 100 miles ahead of you.
baby.
The whole trip, Sean trying to catch me.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not gonna catch me.
The whole trip.
And I don't drive too fast. I ain't got one thing about me. I take my time.
The whole trip.
But the whole trip, Sean trying to make it up.
You getting text messages with little check-ins.
Hey, yeah, where you at? And I text Sean and say, hey, I'm stopping for gas.
Yeah.
This was, I know he smashed the gas even faster.
Until I had to stop for gas. And so I told you, this was like after five messages, I told you I had to stop for gas. You said, listen, man, you're not going to catch me. And the whole time in my mind, you didn't know that I was just trying to blow down on you real fast.
I know you. Yeah, so, yeah, that was the best part of the trip. You know, I'm not going, because if me and Sean were left at the same time, he would have got that 30 minutes before me. And I'm telling you right now, you get in the car with me, I'm rolling. I'm just rolling. You ain't.
Hey, let's do something we never do. So, what's that? I don't even know what's going to happen when the boxing boys get here. I don't know if they're going to kind of jump in and get with our program. I'm prepared to do their thing. I don't really care. But as y'all know, we usually, you know, recap the weekend of boxing and all those things. And then we look forward to what's coming up. And so we'll probably do that. But something we usually don't do, if you got any questions, any comments, anything like that, I'm looking at the chat right now. So. Go ahead and send some stuff in for us. We don't really get enough interaction with y'all, I think. So go ahead and let us know, you know, holler at us. Malcolm, I'm not saying nothing to you. So there's that.
Hey, somebody said Aunt Ness in the same building. Let's go. Hey, man, our energy going to match each other? What? Is somebody hype like me? Ness be on my level?
No, Ness say some stuff.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Ness say some stuff.
Hey, worse than me, huh? Okay. And that's worse than me? I feel like we got fans outside that's been waiting on us, but I feel like they might be effed.
Nah, they showed up when the boxing voice showed up.
Oh, okay, so they might be with the boxing voice.
That's how that go. Yeah.
This dude walking through looking smooth. Look, he know you. Hey. All right, I'm going to tell a story. Hey, so you, I know this happens to you. You know, my lady's...
All right, are they both here?
Yeah, we'll just bring them
in. Oh, yeah.
We're going to tell that story.
Yeah. I gave y'all a moment.
Hold on. Let me see if somebody asked a question. I mean, I look like a damn KRS-One. Big-ass nose.
Jay, don't you got big-ass nose? Ness is honest and raw, just like you.
Okay.
Who has the longer arm, Spencer Crawford? I think Crawford. I think Crawford knows how to use his remote.
No level, Ness. They said me and you are a hell of a combination. Don't put us together.
Really?
They say we just say we say whatever the hell we want to say. I live by, I ain't got a boss. I got Sean Porter, but that's funny.
You know?
What up, fellas?
What up, champ? No better boss to have than a port, I'll tell you that.
Okay. Oh, that's man. Okay. Well, how long have you been thinking of that one?
Oh, no, I mean, you know, I've been knowing him for quite some time. So, okay. You know, I've actually gotten to know his father well. So I feel like I'm saying that because it's true.
Yeah.
What's up with it?
Nothing, man. Thank you. I've been waiting for this. I ain't on front. Finally on the Port Away podcast. I'm happy.
When I had came and did y'all show, I just assumed that eventually we would come and do y'all show again. And it happened that we had a little situation last weekend and kind of like a light bulb came up over my head and was like, yo, they did it by accident. So what? Who gives a damn? But let's do something on purpose. So
for sure.
I said, you know what? Let's invite them in. Not even just as guests on our show, but just let's do a co-
A collaboration
today and let's see what we can make happen. You know,
for
what
sure.
I mean? I think y'all show speaks for itself. And how long y'all been going with y'all with your show, Ness?
So I've been doing it live for 11 years now.
Damn. Yeah.
Danny Garcia. Opened up going live?
Yes. I was one of the first to take my podcast to YouTube because I felt like video was the wave.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And eventually it became the wave. Right. So, yeah, I've been doing it for a while. My first interview was Danny and Gabe Rosado on the podcast, like the first two, and I called it a Philly special. So, yeah, 11 years ago.
Sweet.
And it's crazy, man, because I've gotten to see careers like yours. I mean, Earl Spence from the beginning, you know, Danny, just so many fighters, you know. And I know that before you guys, there was a lot of boxing is dead and, you know, fighters don't know how to manage their money. And it seems like, you know, post Al and everything, like, I don't know, I want to say maybe 2010 moving forward. Fighters from the 2010 moving forward era.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are doing very well. Like, you know, I seen Julian post not too long ago, and he's not a champion anymore, but he posted how happy he was with his real estate and the smart moves that he made. And I know Quillen is doing fine post-boxing, and I'm sure you're doing fine post-boxing. And there's so many when that wasn't the story.
No, it wasn't a few years back. It wasn't. And I always kind of felt like it definitely was my responsibility at some capacity to kind of change the persona of the quote unquote average fighter or the boxers out there that we, you know, we get our money, we turn it into cash real quick and we go out and buy things straight cash, you know? And I think that fighters, I've been saying this for a very long time now, fighters are just, we're more educated than we have ever been.
Yes.
We're more ambitious than we've ever been. And I think for a long time, I think the world can give fighters much more now than they could have given back in the past. I think in the past it was, you're just a boxer and that's it. Mm-hmm. I think now there's just so many things that we're assessed that are at our disposal now that it's almost like we can't help but become anything other than a fighter now, a voice or a face on TV or, you know, I know a lot of fighters that get into real estate. You mentioned J-Rock, and I don't know, I had a conversation with J-Rock. He said, every time I fight, I go get a house. And I'm like, damn. That's how you're supposed to do it, you know? Same thing with Terrence Crawford. The only thing he want to talk to me about is real estate. Yeah. He want to talk so much real estate. I'm like, yo, slow down, man. I'm not interested in real estate.
I heard Crawford owns a whole street.
Yeah.
Like all the houses.
He was at my house giving me game.
Yeah.
He wanted a part of everything. Mm. And the one thing also, you know, I don't know how everybody camp and everybody team is, but at the end of the day, Sean didn't have like a whole team entourage of people that depend on Sean Porter. I got my own plumbing company, other guys at work, Carson, Sean, they both got their own thing. It's not that, hey, Sean, hey, man, my bills are due. I need some da-da-da-da-da. It's a little different now where, you know, back in the days, it was like when my man eat, you eat. And if he don't eat, I don't eat.
And I think that kind of that wave has shifted too, where fighters were known to have entourages, and if you didn't have an entourage, you really weren't the itch. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I think fighters are starting to understand now, like, I can't feed your family and my family. I got to be more concerned with my family, you know?
Yeah, no, everybody definitely got to contribute. Sean, I got to ask, 105 episodes now, how you liking it?
Love it, man. I love it. Straight up. I love it. I do the best I can to kind of just, for the sake of words, stay in my lane, do what I feel like I do well, and then just allow my other guys to do what they do well, you know? And then as everybody knows right now, it's primarily me and Ant. So it's like today, like we opened up the show and Ant was the one talking. You know, I'm like, oh, let's get our plugs in. Let's do this and do that. But I'm not going to step on his toes and not allow him to be the talker that he is. Mm-hmm. I'm a thinker. You know what I mean? So while y'all talking and all that kind of stuff, I'm sitting here and I'm digesting everything that's being said and I'm figuring out what the best thing to say is, you know? So even with, like, I do my notes and stuff like that. Like I
was looking at your notes and I want to ask, like, the way that you have it set up, however it is that it's set up, is that something that you have done on your own, something that you found that works for you, something that you've picked up from some of the other guys like Mark Krieger or Bernardo Osuna that you've worked alongside with? How does Sean gather his notes? Yeah,
that's exactly what it was. When I came into the game, it was just watch and learn. And everybody was telling me, be yourself, be more of yourself, more. Yeah, like that. And I was like, okay, let me be myself, but then let me add what they do well to my game and just try to make it even better. So I don't go on TV without notes. And I learned that with the notes, I just flow. I'm much more fluent, and I'm able to really convey what I feel needs to be said in them points and times. Like this stuff right here is just quick notes on the fights that we had this weekend, stuff that I don't want to forget, you know?
For sure.
We can't highlight the entire show and show the highlights and all that kind of stuff. So,
which is crazy. As a fighter that's now commentating, you have your own platform. Do you find it, for me, I think disrespectful, because every other content creator, like if I was, my channel was focused on movies, I can show movie clips and tell you, hey, you know, the new Saw 5.
Right.
As a commentator who was a former fighter, you can't even put your Showtime highlights without getting the green light from Showtime.
It's unreal.
It is.
Especially for myself. I'm trying to do some things, and I have to talk to ESPN. I have to talk to Showtime. I have to talk to Showbox. I have to talk to CBS. Like, all of these different entities
just to get me.
You know, so... Like, our producer's down right now. Shout out to Hafey. He's doing really well. Came out of his surgery just fine and is already kind of back to work with us.
Yeah, talking.
So we got to shout him out. He had heart surgery just over the weekend.
I don't know if you're supposed to put that out.
He made it, man.
So, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to use that as inspiration.
Exactly. You know, so, but he, I'm doing what he does daily for the podcast. And he says, 15 to 20 seconds of a clip is max. And I'm watching clips this morning. I'm like, this whole damn, it's 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 2 minutes that really shows who this fighter is. Mm-hmm. So I can only give y'all 10 to 20 seconds. And then I have to write down everything that this fighter truly is. That way I remember or that way I'm more fluent when I go to do it, you know? So yeah, it's definitely, it's BS in a lot of sense, in a lot of ways. But I think it's things, again, we talked about how smart fighters are now and the kind of the barriers that we've broken through and the things that we were able to show people that we can do now that at one point in time they never would have considered at all.
Mm-hmm.
But another, you go back to all that and it's like, hey, we haven't broken the business barrier of how can I own the rights to my fights? How can I make sure that every time my fight gets shown on TV, something is going into my check, my banking account?
Mm-hmm. Which is something that the musicians learned a long time ago. You know what I mean? Like everybody wanted their royalties
as well. You know,
yeah, they had to go through it.
Yeah,
in order to know.
And it's like
I want my masters.
Boxing is 20 to 30 years behind everything. 10 to 15 years behind every sport.
That's why it's the Wild Wild West.
Man. Yeah, still.
That's why. Like, still. I mean, look at Triller. Like, there's really people about to fight on a new Triller card when it was just announced that Triller card still didn't get paid.
People still fighting.
You don't know about this new October show about to happen.
Oh man,
I thought they was done. I thought they wrapped it up.
No man.
Yeah, I'm hearing they still owe people money from a couple months back.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah.
I don't speak on nobody.
Well, why did you move to the Wild Wild West?
Hey, one second. Hey man, every day I wake up, I see, and I'm up early. Like I said, I run my own company. I see the boxing voice.
It's BS, ain't it?
I see the boxing voice.
BS, ain't it?
No, you know me, I'm competitive. But I know I got a kid, man. I got an 8-month-old. I got my business I'm running. So I want to be the best at everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, y'all working everybody. Ain't nobody touching you when it comes to this boxing shit. Hey, when it comes to do this podcast.
Greedy.
Ain't nobody.
All right, shut up.
No, I got to give him his love, man.
Greedy.
Hey, man, what y'all doing right now? Hey, salute, man.
Appreciate it.
Because that's hard work. You know, people don't say they do it, but I mean, it's a grind. I'm like, I know these fools are not up at 6 in the morning.
Nah,
six?
We up at 4.
Oh, yeah, we up at 4. But the show start at 6?
Show start at 6.
Oh, but y'all prepping.
Yeah, we got to.
What time y'all going to sleep night before? This is Vegas.
Oh, no, I'm out early, man. My wife loves me. I'm in the bed by 8, 9.
Okay.
8 and 9.
See, I'm different. I'm a degenerate.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like.
You from Vegas?
No, I'm from Chicago, Risley.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
But he's been here 7 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm done working whenever the gym closes. Like,
okay,
you know, so whoever's in camp, I'm in there with them till they're done. So
yeah. Okay,
Danny's out late. So because normally, you know, we do the 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Then we'll have our breakfast. Shout out to Foodie Fit. We'll head over to Top Rank or Bones Adams or whatever gym, mm-hmm. which I've been seeing you do now.
Yeah,
I've been seeing you go out more and more, and you're at the gyms. How are you choosing where to go? Because obviously your time is important.
Honestly, based on the fighters.
Okay.
Honestly, based on the fighters, I haven't gone to any amateur gyms since my fight. Before my fight, I still would go to the amateur gyms and just kind of hang out with them and stuff like that. But now, like you said, because my time is a little more precious or whatever, I do try to get to the gyms where, and I like to go on the days that guys are sparring. I think I think when a guy is sparring is when you can really get to know him in the ring and for the sake of words outside of the ring. So I like going to the gyms on spar days. And
who have you liked seeing in the gym since you've been going recently?
I saw Shakur, and I think he's probably the only one that when I watched him spar, it let me I was able to understand why he is who he is in the ring on fight night. This kid can see it before it happens, and it's like he's got a cheat code or something, because it's the God honest truth. Somehow, some way, he knows what's coming every time it's coming. And I personally have never seen anything like that. You know what I mean? And I think his fast twitch fibers and his ability to counterpunch the way that Shakur does. When I saw it in training, and this is what I saw in training. You was there that day. I don't think Ness was there, but I know, Danny, you were there.
Yeah.
He sparred with one guy, right? And he might have done like 3 or 4 rounds with that guy. That guy goes out and another guy comes in. This guy has a completely different style than the first guy that he had sparred with. This guy's a bulldog, gonna come right at you, gonna be aggressive, gonna push you up against the ropes, all this and that. The bell rings, and somehow, some way, Shakur comes to the middle of the ring, and with all this kind of fight and extra movement that this guy got, Shakur is still calm. He's still slipping and rolling, throwing one punch, two punch, countering, and completely manipulated this dude into changing his style and fighting in the center of the ring instead of going at Shakur and pushing him up. And everything that I knew this kid was capable of, I said, well, you're going to be great. You're already great, but there's just some things you have to do, have to go through in order for everybody to say you're great. But the kid is just unbelievable. And I have not had a chance to see Keyshawn Davis spar yet. I'm gonna kick his ass.
Really?
I came to the gym one day and he changed the time and didn't tell me. I was at the gym for like a whole hour waiting on him. Then I went to the gym another time. I went to Top Rank again and was there for about 30 minutes. And I told Carson was with me. I said, "Yo, let's roll. He ain't coming." And Carson said, "Yo, it's only been 30 minutes. SP, just cool out." So then I get a text message from him that says, "Hey champ, I forgot to tell you, we over at the gym on Bedura today." And I was like, "Yeah, Carson, we out." So I still haven't had a chance to watch him spar, but I really want look forward to seeing him spar.
Yeah, it was busy though at Top Rank, so you know they weren't sure where they were gonna be some days because we were trying to get with them too. Mm-hmm. But he's special.
Yeah,
he's really good.
You're talking
man.
About Davis, right?
Keyshawn Davis,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good, man. I never been in an entire camp with you, so I could only assume how hard you have to work to be you, but I want to ask how much of that is genetics, and then being in these camps, watching these other fighters fight,
yeah.
If it's not genetics, are you disappointed in how much they're not working?
My dad ignored my genetics. He pushed me like I didn't come from him. Like he didn't know the things that I was capable of doing. But I think that was his way of making me understand that I had to work no matter what. No matter what you got, you got to work, you know. And I don't think that these guys really sharpen their genetics and really get it popping and sparking at peak level. There's some guys out there that do, but I think that the separation between the guys who work extremely hard beginning the camp, the end of the camp, and
who's really working, champ? You've been in the gyms. I'm in all the gyms. I know who works.
Well, you in all the gyms out here?
Say it again.
You in? Well, yeah, in Houston.
I mean, I travel, but I'm looking at it from a YouTuber, analyst, or whatever the fuck you want to call me point of view. You a former world champ. I want to know who have you seen that works? Because maybe I think a guy's working and you think he bullshitting.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. And I picked up on this a little late, but I picked up on it maybe halfway through my career, maybe a little more than halfway through my career. So Keyshawn comes to the gym late and I said, "Yo, I got a roll, but I just want to, you know, chat for just a minute or whatever." And we had a little light conversation and he said something. I don't remember exactly what he said, But I was trying to get somebody to come on the podcast. And I'm not going to say who it was, but they basically said, I'll do it in a week or I'll do it in 2 weeks. And I said, Keyshawn, I said, what you got to understand is your life doesn't, the boxing world, your boxing life doesn't end on fight night. I said, you got to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you probably don't realize this, but after your fight, you're still fighting. You've got two more things to do right after that night happens. I said, you know what they are? He's like, nah. I said, you got media and you got rest and recovery. I said, you need to be hitting ice baths. You need to be doing salt baths. You need to be going into the saunas. You need to be doing things of stretching and getting massages, helping your body recover.
Absolutely.
I said, and then the other side of that is you need to be doing social media and doing some media runs.
Staying relevant.
Yeah. I said, everybody forgets about what you did on fight night, no matter how great it was. I said, so what? The boxing world is going to talk about it, but ESPN ain't going to talk about it. So what you got to do is go out there and do things on ESPN or do things on public or local stations and things mm-hmm. like that to keep furthering everything that you do, you know? So I don't know which fighters out there do rest and recovery. I'm pretty sure Terrence Crawford does. I'm pretty sure Errol Spence does.
What's rest and recovery to you, though?
So what I would do, if I fought on Saturday night, I was straight cooling Sunday. Straight cooling Monday, maybe. Sunday, nope. Sunday, I was getting home and I was doing ice tub, especially if it was a 12-round fight, which most of my fights at the end, they were 12-round fights. I'm doing ice tubs as soon as
How
I got
How many hours?
I would do a 10-minute on Monday, then do a 10-minute do a 10-minute on Sunday, 10-minute on Monday, do a 10-minute on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, I'm on the bike, just getting my body back moving. You know what I mean? Because what we do is, and a lot of fighters don't know this, but you take your body to such a high level, and if in order to maintain, also while you're eating everything that you're eating, and you can't go out and run and all those different things, if you're shocking your body if you don't have any movement at all. You're shocking your body, and you're making your body think that, oh, I got to be in chill mode. I have to sit. I have to recover. So what you do is you just, like I would do, is bike. You can walk. You can do whatever you want to do, jump rope. Some guys like to shadow box. Do those little things just to keep the body moving
mm-hmm.
and in the place of working. And then it's not that much harder when you get back into a camp to get your body back going and all those different types of things. So I don't know, man. Like, who works hard out here?
Devin Haney.
Devin? I mean, Shakur's done camp out here. He did this last one in Houston.
Jared Anderson.
I went to Houston, and I've seen him in camp out here. Shakur, Jared, they're working.
Very hard.
Keyshawn is working.
Regis Progress.
Yeah, Regis. Boots. Oh, my God. Boots is definitely working.
And everybody is different. But mm-hmm. one thing I say, doesn't matter how long you were at the gym. What matters is what you do while you're there. So,
or how you do it, man.
And also how you do it.
Like, I'm seeing some of these dudes go through the motions, and I'm just like, now I know why it's tough in a 12 or a 10-round fight.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've been to so many different camps. Like, you know, I'm not, like you said, everyone is different. So sparring, let's say 8 consecutive rounds, jumping out and hitting the bag for 4 or 6 rounds, may not be the normal for everyone, but if I don't see you do that, I'm like, okay, mental note. He ain't do nothing after sparring.
Here's the funny thing. I didn't really jump rope much. I never hit the speed bag much, and I never hit the double end bag much. Those were three things that my dad just, even as a kid, he was like, nah, we don't need that. We going to the street, and we running sprints. And after we run the sprint, we're going to hit the pads, and you're going to throw 100 punches, and then you're going to walk down and sprint again. You know what I mean? So, there's things like if you don't, like guys, I swim. A lot of guys don't swim.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're training in altitude, that can replace the swimming that I do. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So you can offset, and not everybody works the same way. You got guys who are going to go to the gym and say, every day I'm doing 25 rounds, no matter what it is, I'm making sure I get 25 rounds in. I'm going to the gym and I'm like, I'm not doing 25 rounds, but what do you want me to do? I'll do it at the best of my capabilities mm-hmm. and then I'm ready to roll. But I had a mental thing and a physical thing where it was 90% the whole way from beginning of training to the end of training, you know? So everybody's not the same. And one more thing to your point, the guys that go through the motions, what happens is when you get in the ring on fight night, you haven't boiled your blood like that in the gym. Once your blood gets going in the ring and you have not taken your heart rate up to the level it's at, your body does not know how to respond.
Absolutely. If you're used to being in first gear, when it's time to hop into that high intensity third,
yeah,
you're not used to that.
I got
to
ask, you spoke of Shakur. Shakur, Jared, Keyshawn, Boots, they're all sparring 4-minute rounds. What do you think of that as a fighter?
It depends on what their 4 minutes look like. I didn't know he was doing four-minute rounds.
30-second breaks.
Shakur. Yeah, I didn't know Shakur was doing 4-minute rounds, but he sparred at the pace that he fights at. And there's a lot of guys that will increase the minutes that they spar per round, but then decrease the activity that they're going to have in the actual fight.
That's why I don't like 4-minute rounds, because not everyone can be mentally disciplined like Shakur Stevenson. So hypothetically, myself, if I'm going to spar Sean Porter for 4 minutes, I'm going to try and pace myself because you're a professional and you're better than me. And I'm sure their mind is on that because you know how good the person in front of you is.
I should have pulled a clip of us sparring.
Y'all smart? You stopped
way
him?
Way back in the day.
You stopped him? Nah, he stopped me.
Yo, Ness claims.
Oh, okay, I got to hear this.
Ness claims this was the first time he ever put gloves on.
It was the first time. No, not gloves on, but the first time I ever sparred, but used a mouthpiece for boxing.
How many
years? I used to use that for football.
How many years ago was this?
Ooh, wow, Lion. It's a wild now.
What 17, fight were you? 2017, maybe?
Maybe.
All right, Ness, you been in the ring with another boxer?
Yes.
You look better?
Oh, yeah.
He look better?
No.
Okay.
I thank Sean Porter, and people are going to be shocked, but Gabe Montoya, because when I first started, Gabe Montoya would say that you have to get in the gyms, but then sparring with Sean opened my appetite. So after that, I went to Passaic. And I started training with Kendall Holt's trainer and Glenn Tapia's trainer. His name is Terrific Gist. He has actually now Shadeja Green.
Mm.
And being in that gym really just helped me in this particular game, because you learn to understand what you're seeing a whole lot better, not only from watching them spar and watching them train, but actually getting in there and, you know, going through the motions, doing the pad work. And when you get the chance to spar, sparring too, because – you know, I used to say, man, he's not letting his hands go. Now I know why.
Yo, tell me about it.
I used to say, you know, damn, jab, bro. That's the easiest punch. Like, jab. And it's like, I've sparred a UFC fighter who I hate UFC fighters. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to destroy this guy. And every time I would jab, he would right hand over my jab. So I was like, that's it. I don't even want to throw a punch no more because he keeps hitting me with this right.
Why don't you do the Sean Porter step around?
Yeah, right. You have to listen.
Yo, defeat needed a fight. Like, nobody will understand until you spar.
Yes.
Like, I had never in my life sparred until Ness, like, in front of, like, 20 other guys, like, yo, you trying to spar? We in Dallas.
Oh, he called you out?
No, not him. Oh. So he has an event called Border Wars. He throw, how many have you had now? About 15? 13? 13 events across the country, and he'll get people off the couch. You train, get in the ring, right? So I'm in Dallas for the Errol Spence, Mikey Garcia fight. The night before, we go to DG's, have a ball. Mm-hmm. You know, we throwing money in there. We have a ball. I wasn't fighting. I ain't tripping, right? So you know, I had a little cup of apple juice or two at the time. And the next morning, I'm helping that set up, and I'm recovering from too much apple juice.
Yeah, I got you.
And I'm literally drinking a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, smoking a Black and Mild. He's like, yo, you trying to fight this guy? Never in my life have I sparred.
Who did that, Ness?
Yeah. I'm like, who?
I didn't know the wild night he had because I was resting.
Yeah, because he had to, you know.
I don't go out like that. I know he ain't talking to me.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I'm like, who? He was like, yeah, this guy ain't show up. That guy, you about his way.
He loves telling this story, by the way.
You know, I do.
Was he loud like that? He was loud?
I mean, it was just a crowd of people outside.
But he was still like, he wasn't like, he didn't pull you to the side?
Nah, he ain't pull me to the side.
Come on, Ness.
Now, look.
I know that, listen, this man served 2 tours in Afghan. I knew he was ready.
At that point, it was only
and
one.
He was sparring in Afghan.
No, that was after that. That was the second time.
That opened the appetite.
Yeah, that opened the appetite. But look, he pointed him out. I'm like, yeah, easy work. I ain't gonna lie. No, Sean, I promise you, this is what I'm thinking. So they like, all right, you know, let's get you on the pads. I ain't got no gloves, no wraps, no headgear, no mouthpiece, no cup, no shoes. I ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So everything somebody had like a new mouthpiece. Didn't even get to boil it.
It's just in there.
I just bit down. You know what I mean? Yo, after the fight, let me tell you, I gave the guy 3 standing eights. Right.
Mm. Oh, so this was one of the border wars? Yes. What do you call it? Border wars.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was just a sparring.
No. This was a border wars.
He said fight.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was a real fight.
I mean, it's headgear, so it's sparring.
Yeah.
You know, but let me tell you, after the fight, you would have thought I got my ass. I'm throwing up all type. It was a unanimous decision victory for me.
Yeah.
After, I was like, yo, the legs is crazy.
His brother's in the chat, like, come get the other half if it's easy work then.
Oh. Where he at?
Superman's right there. He in our chat. We live on both chats. Hey,
they won't catch you slipping like that again,
I'm going to be honest with you. I've lost too much weight. I mean, I'll run it back with his brother because Matt's lost some weight, right?
A lot of weight.
Oh, you know these people?
I mean, now I do because I've stepped in the ring with him.
Okay, hold up. You said you lost too much weight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because
I know you lost weight, but what that got to do is the kid.
Well, no, because the brother.
He used to be a heavyweight.
Right, the brother came and he talking about if it's easy work, let's run it.
But the brother's a super heavyweight.
The brother's a super heavyweight.
Hey, you know how I feel about getting in the ring with some heavies. You know how I feel about it.
Nah, you can't. Nah, he can't be fighting you.
Somebody text and ask, yo, how many of the heavyweights out there you think you could beat?
Hey. Ness, wow, he said some crazy name. I ain't
what name? Let me hear some names.
No.
Let me hear some names.
No name.
You didn't say no names?
What I said was most of them.
And I said he'll get his ass stopped. That's what I said. He'll get up there and get his ass stopped.
Who'll get stopped? Hold on.
Sean Porter will get stopped.
Somebody text me.
Anybody in the top 10.
And ask like, how many of the
top 10. That's going to be tough, man. Top 10,
Sean? Look at this. Look at this.
Let me see what the top 10 look like.
Bro, he beat Usyk, man. Come on. Don't disrespect Sean. He didn't beat Usyk.
That was at middleweight.
And let me ask this.
At 165.
And I'm going to just go on right. Because I always say,
like, you're literally
going to
have to be
back.
That slippery cat all night with a pit bull.
No. Hold on. Don't say that, Sean. Don't say that. Did you see Floyd last night?
Yes, sir.
Did you? Come on. Wait. You wouldn't come back for an exhibition?
Technically, Sean, I ain't going front.
I got five out of the top ten.
Because I don't mind these types of fights, and I know it would bring in more attention than the normal fight, I do think that Sean can beat, especially Joseph Parker after that knockout loss yesterday. If he try to come back versus Sean, Sean nice and fast, what you think?
Hell no.
Sean, the fuck his ass up, man. Stop playing. I said Joseph's going to knock his ass up.
Wait, because Joseph do got a good ass jab. So and he out jabbed Ruiz.
He won't touch me. And neither will Joe.
What y'all saying?
Sean, I ain't going to lie. All due respect, champ. Joyce knocking you out, champ.
Nah, Joyce ain't knocking me out.
You ain't seen him spar. That's the thing. You ain't seen him spar.
The sparring is better than the fight?
No, yes. Absolutely.
I've seen that before.
I've seen that
before.
Right or wrong. But
you messing up the name. You're saying Joyce, but you're not thinking Parker. We talking Parker.
He said Joyce,
too. I said both of them.
He's saying both of them.
Thank you.
That's what I said. Ness, that's what I said. Champ, all due respect. Yeah, Joyce will knock your ass out.
I see Joyce spawn. He's like... I don't know.
He's too damn long.
Honestly, even yesterday's fight, right? Like, don't you think it's going to take Wilder or Fury? Like, he just comes forward. You can't stop him.
Yeah.
That right hand he took from Parker was unbelievable. Let me tell you. It didn't move him.
Yeah.
It was like.
You probably could outpoint him, but he's there all 12 rounds giving you tough, hard shots. Yo, those body shots, he's an animal to the body.
Yeah.
You ain't watch him spar.
Next one.
No. I think though.
All right, so you 1-1 right now. We giving him 1-1.
No, he getting this one.
Pulev. I got 1-2.
I got him Pulev all day.
That's 3-0.
I don't think Parker, but Pulev for sure.
I got you 1-2.
Pulev doesn't jab.
Okay.
Joseph Parker's jab is nice. I don't know if he's gonna lose that off that Joseph Joyce loss.
3-0.
But I believe Pulev
1-2.
You know, I want to say this. The UK is going to hate me and think I'm crazy because this man is durable. But he's lost so much, and he's never beat the true elite. And Sean's proven he is elite. But
look, Chisora, man, you see,
is like the toughest journeyman there is.
He's all over you.
He on you, man. You seen what he did to Usyk, but you did beat Usyk. I don't know.
Come on, man.
Crazy.
That was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
All right, another win.
I'm 5-0.
Ness giving you win. I got you 1-4 right now.
I think for
1-3.
You don't think he beats Luis Ortiz? 50-year-old Luis Ortiz.
Hell no.
Hey, yo, he don't even think he can beat Luis Ortiz.
Did you watch the Andy fight?
Yo, all that loss to Ruiz?
Hell no.
Man, what's wrong with you?
Yo, he in the top 10 still.
The night he lost to Wilder, he was still whoop Chan's ass. Hey, he said Luis Ortiz, man.
Right. Yo, Luis Ortiz is knocking on retirement's door right now. And he's Cuban. We don't know if he's 44, 54.
He might be dead. We don't know. He might already passed
did
away.
Did Ruiz knock him out or did it go 12?
It went 12.
He got dropped a bunch.
Yeah. Three times.
Yeah.
Hey, Ness, don't go no higher. Don't go no higher, Ness.
No, I mean, it's tough.
How can you not bring up Usyk?
No, you gotta bring up Usyk.
No, he's already beat him.
At this point,
I'm not saying he'll beat him. I'm not saying he'll beat him. I'm just saying you gotta bring him up.
At this point,
think about it like this.
How tall are you, Sean?
Think about it like this.
Canelo's 5'7".
Think about it like this. 5'4". Think about it like this.
He is not 5'4". You tripping, man.
I was about to say, damn.
Bam Rodriguez, 5'4". You disrespectful.
No, think about it like this.
What, you 5'7 fight?
One of the best NBA players in the game right now is one of the smallest players in the NBA right now. And I'm not comparing myself to him. Stephen Curry. You can't catch Steph. And it's only so many times he gonna miss before he drill him. One of the best players in the NFL right now.
So you saying it's only gonna be so many times before a heavyweight misses before they get you, champ?
One of the best in the NFL right now. I make a point. Well, I'm just saying, one of the smallest guys in the league ends up being one of the best guys in the league is because he's got attributes that none of the big guys can stop. The same thing if you switch over to the NFL. What's the cheetah? What's his name?
Tyreek Hill.
He's one of the smallest guys in the league, but he can go across the middle and then take it to the house. Because he's got something that all of those other big guys on the field don't have.
Champ, we from the Midwest. I just want to give the Bears a shout out.
We
beat the Texans today, and our producer, Brandon Lenz, bet me $100 on the game.
Dang.
Where your money at?
I mean, we live. I ain't checked. He might have sent it.
Oh, okay.
Do you really rep, are you truly a Browns fan, or do you just say that because you from that area?
Here's the funny thing is this is for the first time in my life, I can remember being, like, just in love with the Browns since I was in middle school. So for the first time since I was a teenager, this has been the first time that I haven't made any posts about the Browns. Maybe one or two. The moves that they made in the offseason is something that a lot of people can't rock with. Me personally, I don't like to get into the personal business of athletes. I understand that you just have your personal life and it is what it is. It pours into the NFL. It is kind of a reflection of what the NFL is, what they accept. Again, furthermore, the Browns, who they are, what they accept. You know what I mean? So this, for the first time, has been a season that I really haven't been loud about my Browns, but they are 2-1 now. So,
I was just asking because I'm not going to lie, champ. I'm like a diehard, you know, Chicago, everything except the Cubs, right? But, like, for you, I was like, damn, he's a fan of a team that don't even have, like, a logo. Like, y'all just a color. And it's like, y'all the Browns, but the color's orange. It's like, they're a very confused team. And I just wanted to touch bases. I'm like, is it a hometown thing?
You came to touch base with me about the Cleveland Browns. He said, let me touch base with you.
More of your fandom, because it was like, I know it must be hard. It's hard for me.
Yeah.
So I know it must be hard for you.
I mean, so the history is just so far removed from where the Browns started. I can't remember the Browns.
Paul Brown.
Paul Brown. So that's where the Browns come from. So no, we don't have an official logo because we decided to name the team after the owner, the creator of the Browns. You know, I think we have kind of found our way to the dogs, but we just don't identify ourselves as the Cleveland Dogs. I don't really think it makes sense.
What's the best Ohio franchise, sports franchise? And I'm gonna throw college in there because
it's got to be the Browns.
Ohio State.
Do you mean the franchise in terms of winning and
I mean in your eyes, who do you think represents the state of Ohio the best?
Oh, Ohio State.
I'm gonna look out this window since y'all talking this foosball shit.
He don't watch nothing else but boxing.
Yes.
Damn, you really about this?
Coming in here, I
can do it as much as I do it because it's passion.
I only had two things for y'all coming in here. Like number one, I said y'all greedy as hell. Doing two shows a day. Like, that's just greedy. Give somebody else a chance to do something. They like, no, I'm not tuning in because Boxing Voice coming on soon.
We got schedule around y'all. I'm not tuning in
because Boxing Voice just went off. I'm boxed out. You know I mean? Y'all boxed us all out. You know what I mean? Nah, but I appreciate what y'all do. But the one thing I did want to know is, because Ant and I were talking about this before y'all came in, before we went live, Carson is a sports fanatic. So Carson will sit down and watch Twitter or watch the live games or be on social media. He sees everything that happens in the world of sports. Mm. And so then when it came to boxing, when we like, cool, we got the Showtime Championship Boxing tonight, he come in here prepared to talk about what happened on DAZN and what happened on ESPN and what happened on these low-level shows and all that. How much boxing do you watch?
Everything. We try to consume everything. Like, we asked each other, like, yesterday, we asked each other, are we doing the Floyd fight? Because outside of that, we did the entire ESPN cards because we're attached, too. Like, I'm going to see Bruce Shu Carrington spar, and, you know, Keyshawn is training in our facility. So it's like, how do I not sit there and watch their live fight or go to their fight? So it's like, we watch it all, man. Plus, I know you and your dad are religious, but I gamble. Don't have a gambling problem, but, you know, after so many
years. I gamble, too.
I just started.
And just to be clear, Ness.
Gambles $2, yeah, $5. You know, I'm not a gambler.
Nothing crazy.
I'm just, like, showing my audience we can win. Yeah. We're smarter than the bookies. They don't, like they thought Maxie Hughes was going to lose last night, and I was just laughing all week.
We bet him by decision.
We picked him by decision at a 280.
Plus
and, you know,
280, yeah.
$100 would have made you $380 back right there. And, you know, boxing takes a lot from us. So we try to be smarter than the bookies, give back to our audience so that they can get these pay-per-views for free. Because last year we paid anywhere between like $840-something maybe in pay-per-views alone.
I never thought about it until I heard somebody like equate how many pay-per-views are done a year.
I mean, Canelo gave us two in 1 year.
One.
No. We had the Billy Joe.
It wasn't pay-per-view.
You better check that.
I'm 1,000% sure. I'll bet you that 100 I just won from Brandon. That's all right.
But speaking of Brandon, he did have a question which I've never heard. He says, let's say you can open a Hall of Fame for journeymen.
Dang.
You get to induct three guys. Who are your votes?
Only one that came to mind was the Drunken Master.
Emmanuel Augustus. You got two more
votes.
First
one that came to mind. Journeyman. You got to put Gay Rosado in there.
Wait. So, as a fighter, they won't find it as disrespect. So, does a journeyman, that's the guy that couldn't win a world title? Because if you won a world title, you're a former champion, no matter how bad you drop.
I don't even know. Like, to me, a journeyman is just somebody who got in the ring and fought everybody, win, lose, or draw, but has been in the ring with everybody, has put on like just exciting performances. Whether he won or lost, you wanted to see him win, which is why Gabe just came to mind.
Chris Areola?
You wanted to see him fight.
Mm.
Chris Areola?
Yeah, Chris Areola. I would say, always gave the fans good
since
fights.
Since you put it that way, see, because, you know, journeyman, for me, I didn't think of it that way. I thought of it just like, you know, those fighters that they're here. They're like a chop-chop. Uh-huh. Like a
chop-chop. You got to put chop-chop in
there. I don't even want to say Salido because, again, he became a world champion. Uh-huh. But, you know, it's just like those losses, the grits, the people that are there like a Gabe, no matter how many times boxing tell them no, they keep trying. That's what I thought. But, again, that's why I asked you because I don't want to call a Ray Beltran a journeyman, and he won a world title.
He did win a world title.
So that makes you a former world champion. I don't,
sure.
You know?
Well, I think you still can become a journeyman if you fight, you happen to lose that belt, but then you just keep fighting. Win, lose, or draw, you're still fighting, and you're still relevant. I think, to me, a journeyman is a fighter who's relevant.
So Chisora is a journeyman.
Chisora is a journeyman, yeah. In my mind, and yeah. I don't really know.
And he's like borderline gatekeeper. Depending what heavyweight you put in with Chisora, he might get a title shot after that if he beats Chisora properly.
I mean, gatekeeper. How is that any different from a journeyman?
Well, because the gatekeeper holds the keys to the title shot. So if they fight you, they end up in a Shakur fight. Hypothetically, Jermaine Ortiz, right? He's fighting a gatekeeper in Loma. Loma don't got a belt. But if he beat Loma, man, Devin got to fight
Hold
him.
Up. You just said Loma is a gatekeeper?
Hell no. I thought gatekeeper was like motherfuckers. Like, to me, a gatekeeper is like a fighter that got a name, but he done.
Josito right? Lopez.
No.
Josito Lopez?
No. Nah. That's journeyman.
Yes.
Journeyman. Oh, yeah.
Gatekeeper, okay. Listen to me. Believe me, guys. Gatekeeper holds the key to your title shot. Once you beat him.
Let me Google this shit.
Go for it.
Man, what was
Once you beat that gatekeeper, you get a title shot. Think about it. Has Boots fought a gatekeeper yet?
Luis Ortiz?
Absolutely. And why you think they talking Wilder versus Ruiz for the belt?
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
No.
Luis, you don't think Luis
In that specific situation, it's a thing of that's the next biggest fight for PBC in the heavyweight division.
All right. What about this? If Johnny Rice comes and fights Luis Ortiz, you don't think a title fight is next for Johnny?
No.
What?
Come on, man.
What?
And you mean like in Johnny's next fight? You mean in top five?
I mean,
Luis Ortiz in his next fight?
If Johnny Rice fights Luis Ortiz next.
All right, hold on, Nash.
Then he got one.
I got it. This is coming from from Wikipedia, so you know the shit's legit.
Yeah, you mean
I
any
hate
human.
It, by the way.
No, huh?
Wikipedia. I hate it.
No, Wikipedia only means any human can
or,
change
can
that.
Can I say us anymore? Talk about fighters.
So it says in boxing, a gatekeeper is a skillful and well-regarded fighter, but one who does not have the popularity or brilliance of a title contender. They are considered to be a cut above most journeymen.
Which is right, but I don't like the terminology. He's not a dude not good enough because, again, a gatekeeper, you know, he could become a world champion. He could have been a former world champion, but he holds that. Like, if right now Keith Thurman's a gatekeeper, that's why he's telling you in the media, I'm not. And that's why Boots wants to fight him, because after Boots beats Keith, there's no backward step. You don't fight Virgil. You fight Crawford or Earl for the belt, or you fight for a vacant belt. That's a gatekeeper.
All right.
So obviously, Keith
somebody in the comments said this one. Former world champ, Bam Bam Rios. Brandon.
You mean into the Journey Fame, yeah, Journeyman Hall of Fame? Absolutely. I love Rios. His biggest knock was the weight, man. If he could have been at 135 his entire career, maybe him and Broner would have had a trilogy.
Sean, so what was the second thing you had? You said the first one is what boxing do we watch? And that's kind of answered that, and I think I'm probably alongside there with him.
I think you might watch more than me because you have a lot of he has a lot of friends and you know you watch all their you watch all of them, bro.
Yeah. So what is it though that like keeps you watching?
I just like
no and here let me do it. No offense to Amanda Serrano, but after about four rounds, I knew what the fight was going to look like and I knew she wasn't going to knock the girl out. I was like,
which is crazy because that little girl that she was fighting was skinny. I'm like, where did they find her?
And I'm not saying like, you know.
She was supposed to get that knockout.
She was there for the knockout.
She was there to be. That was a twig in front of her. She was meant to be knocked out. Somehow that lady said, I'm not going down tonight.
Yeah.
She put all her money on last in the 12.
So I can't. So I'm like, I can't.
Like,
I can't.
For example, right now, that's a fight. That because the Joe Joyce card was on, that we didn't get to watch. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not going back to watch that fight.
Sure.
I'm not, but like last night, I watched the entire like Floyd card. You know, I watched his bodyguard
Amanda Serrano?
I watched his bodyguard get knocked out. That was crazy.
That was funny, though.
One of his bodyguards fought?
No. Yes.
And it was the dude with the ponytail.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Because he's always talking crap. Like, how you always big mouthing? You always, like, in something?
And supposedly he's, like, a former fighter or something?
Bruh, they slept him.
So
he
I got something to say about this fight right here. This is Amanda Serrano.
Ooh, took a nice left hook there.
And what the Hey, let's show it one more time. So, and this is what I had to say about this fight. There are matches that fighters need to have that are going to get us ready for the fights that we're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
This fight right here does not get Amanda Serrano ready for a rematch with Katie Taylor. Katie Taylor is going to throw, turn. Amanda Serrano is going to keep walking. That stalker mentality that she has is great. It leads for entertainment, but I don't think Amanda Serrano gets in the ring with women that can exploit her the greatness that she has. She gets so turned on to one thing, to beat somebody, because that's all that she needs. And in order to beat Katie Taylor, she needs so much more than just pressuring Katie Taylor and going to Katie Taylor's
body. I'm gonna be honest with you, champ. The rematch, I feel like at this point, is the last thing we should be worried about. You know, Eddie Hearn is suing Amanda's promoter
I don't know how real that is. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I am seeing more and more stuff surface, but we'll see, man. You know, Eddie's very intelligent, and you know, Jake Paul's game is social media. So, you know, this will get some traction. I just don't know how serious it would be.
Is there a lawsuit that is?
Yeah,
like,
he said $100 million. Like, come
for
on, man.
Defamation.
For defamation. Now, don't get me wrong.
Because I actually read the wording was like something along the lines of, given Jake Paul's popularity and the control that he has and the effects that he could have on Matchroom would upwards of $100 million.
That's weak.
And Danny, I know I like to call you the almanac, so hopefully you remember how much Pacquiao had to pay. I mean, excuse me, Mayweather had to pay Pacquiao.
Yeah,
because that was defamation, and that was for money.
I definitely don't remember that. Oh. You motherfucker, why you do that? Yo, but Pacquiao was at the fight last night, for those of you that didn't.
I seen that. What was that about? They were sitting next to each other.
And that was funny because Floyd was like shitting on Pacquiao.
Yeah,
like he told him, like literally this far apart, Sean told him, yeah, don't let these people fool you into getting your ass whooped again. $114,000 is what Floyd Mayweather had. That's chump change.
That's what he had
Floyd.
To pay.
$114,000 for Floyd.
That's gonna pay that.
Court just paid that. Court just paid that. You know what I'm saying?
Weight fees.
Right. Court just paid that in weight fees. So that wasn't none for Floyd, man. $114,000.
Sean, I got another one here, but it's they're wrong. We're not on. He's not on our show. We're on his show. It's James Benitez in Huntsville, Alabama. He says, first, Frank Martin, you stated that he's a threat. I got him a top three talent at 135 now. I think he's with Shakur Tank. Could you elaborate on why Frank gets a title next year or not? Now, I only wanted to bring that up because are you picking him over Colbert, who has to move up to fight him?
I would pick him over Colbert. Yeah. I'm high on Frank Martin. One of the few fighters out there that can just kind of do just about anything in the ring, from being explosive with power to being fast, quick, sharp, can counterpunch, can use the ring, and can be aggressive and come at you. You know what I mean? I think that he is, in a lot of ways, a very complete fighter at 135. And I do think that he's a threat to anybody because he's almost liable to do anything at any point in time to offset what you do well, you know? And then, of course, with having Derek James in his quarter, and I've seen the way Derek James, I haven't seen him personally, but you just see the way his guys operate in the ring on fight night. You can see that he game plans very well, and it's almost like he knows everything about the fighter, and we do these things, we'll be successful, you know. So I think that he beats Colbert. I think Colbert has basically shown his hand and who he truly is. I think he has one fighting style. And I'm not saying that you have to have multiple fighting styles in order to be great or anything like that. But if he can't counterpunch you, then what does he do? If he can't hurt you off of the counterpunch, then what does he do? You know, Colbert is not.
So you don't think that fight with Garcia was just
the night,
and he underestimated him. You know, you look at that paper.
Replacement.
Like, let's be real. Even me, I've been telling my audience for I would say in the last maybe three, and that's me being generous. So it could be the last 12 months or 24 months. Don't bet on Dominicans. So I would have went into that fight just like Colbert. Like,
he a Dominican.
I'm Dominican, but what Dominican can we trust? Jason Rosario was a unified champ. I know personally he had Snickers under his bed. Like, I mean, there's no Dominicans I can trust except
hey,
maybe.
Hey, man, I ain't going to be a part of no snitching.
Listen, I go. Well,
the reason why I'm pointing
not
to
you
is because
my audience.
The reason why I pointed to you is because I was just saying a couple weeks ago that we have a wave of Dominican fighters that are coming to the States that are like on some different stuff.
And that's what you're saying, coming to the States. I don't like the Dominican that comes here but goes back. Uh-huh. It's hard, Sean. Like, one American dollar is 50 Dominican pesos over there. You know,
oh,
it don't
that
matter.
Makes sense. Chill. Why they be stunting.
Exactly.
You know what I'm talking about, too.
Slow down.
Yo, and that's the thing. You get over there. It don't matter what they paid you. You balling in the eyes of your public.
Man.
You are balling. So they get caught up in that life.
Look, Sean.
It's very hard for them to be disciplined.
Especially, like, for me, I watch all sports, right? Bro, Dominican baseball player is notorious. It's the same thing. Mm. They get a couple
they
dollars.
They fall off really quickly, huh?
Very.
It's just a matter of what Ness is saying. You know, they come from poverty. They come from nothing. They touch money they ain't never seen. And now, like, we've literally had your Dennis Ugas. He's Cuban. I get it. But he came from Cuba, came from nothing. He then said it out his mouth. I used to wear fake watches, fake jewelry. I had to fake it till I made it.
Yeah.
And a lot of those guys have that mentality. I mean, mm-hmm. just a lot of people, I feel like, that come from nothing have that mentality. Because, man, you go back to Chicago, I'm like, damn, so everybody got a $50,000 chain on in the club?
Right.
Damn. You
right.
feel me?
Right.
Yep.
Dude, you got 50 in your bank?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
My moral was just different. Because I came from little to nothing, you know what I mean? I had more than others, you know what I mean? I didn't go without, but I definitely watched TV. I definitely went to school with other kids and was like, Jordans is cool, you know what I mean? I had to teach myself to dislike Jordans just so that I wouldn't feel bad about not having them.
Right.
That's
now you rocking AIs on TV, champ.
I tell everybody, so you see me in the suits, and it's because back in the day, the suits that I wore, everything I had was hand-me-down.
Mm-hmm.
So I hated going to church on Sundays. Because my stuff didn't fit, or my stuff was dingy, or my stuff just didn't look good, or it didn't match, so on and so forth. No offense to my parents. Like, they did the best they could, but I just wasn't funky, fly, fresh all the time. Definitely not like some of the people I seen at school, right? So then you fast forward to, like, Jordans and AIs and all that kind of stuff. Couldn't afford it. That money's going somewhere else. We're not about to buy you shoes.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear $120 or be able to do XYZ for the next XYZ months. You know what I mean? So I couldn't afford it. So when I got older, I had an attraction to suits because it was like this was something that I could not do that looked really good, or I couldn't look good when I was young. And I was like, well, if I like being different and I don't want to wear the same stuff that everybody else wears because I couldn't do it back in the day, I'm going to wear things that nobody else wears and make it look good. So that's why I got into the suits, right? Then you fast forward, I get some change. I says, yeah, you know what I'm going to do? All these throwbacks, I'm going to start buying all these shoes that I couldn't afford when I was a kid. You know what I mean? So that's why you see me with the AIs and you see me with some Felis on and anything that's throwback. It's because I couldn't afford it when I was a kid.
I was this close from wearing my Allen Iverson jersey
that
today.
Today.
Because of you wearing the shoes last weekend.
I'm trying to get a deal, you know? Holla at me, Reebok.
Hey, Sean, what was the first big purchase when you got that money?
People have asked me that before.
I
made purchases.
Now, what was fuck the first big purchase? The first like fuck you purchase.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Because the first big purchase could have been a house or something responsible.
Yeah. I don't think there's ever been an FU purchase. I had took my dad. My wife was working at Porsche, and she sent me a video of a green Porsche pulling in. I said, "Tell them not to sell it. I'm on my way." And I came the same day, and I started talking to them about the Porsche, and I started getting familiar with all that. Took my dad up so that he could look at the car. I said, "Hey, what you think?" He said, "Well, talk to your CPA. If you got it, go ahead and do it." Talk to the CPA. I said, "Hey, I'm good." He said, "Well, why wouldn't you get it?" I said, "I don't know. I mean, it's a Porsche. It ain't really my style. It ain't my thing." He said, "Well, you deserve it. You've never, to your point, you've never done anything outside of what's responsible with your money. Why not do this?" So that's why we got the Porsche.
Damn, that's crazy.
How long ago was that? So, like, no, like, vacation, like...
I don't know that
No, hear me. Not you on vacation with the wife, like, fuck, I'm going to get her this Louis bag. Just get something that I typically wouldn't,
Yeah. Okay. Did that before.
No, but that's for the wife.
Stop going into the stores. And I was like, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it. Like, you just... She wanted to go shopping on Melrose or one of them streets.
Yeah, Rodeo Drive.
Rodeo Drive.
And that's we pulling up down there.
I promise you, I went in like two or three stores, and I was like, I ain't going in no more. I can't help it.
It's crazy. I went to Starbucks this morning. I live in because you would have thought you was on Melrose or Rodeo, and I go inside. I'm waiting. You know, I place my order. So I'm sitting back.
What you get?
Venti vanilla sweet cream cold brew, extra shot of espresso.
What Starbucks you be at?
I honestly don't even live
in Henderson.
It's the one off of Stephanie and Arroyo Grande. Arroyo Grande.
I know where you at.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm off the 215 in Gibson, like right up against the mountains and shit. But I go in there and I see three.
He lets you know you're living.
No, I'm just saying, just to give you an idea.
Get to it.
I see three kids, and I'll say kids because no question they was in high school, like 100% sure of that. And I look at them, Sean. Each one of them had over $3,000 worth of clothing on.
Oh, Lord.
Each one of them.
Yeah.
And I look at the phone, and it's 9:20 in the morning. Like, I made sure to go before kickoff, Bears plate. And I'm like, damn, they woke up that early just to get this fly,
right,
to not go to church,
right,
to come sit with two other guys, right, at Starbucks,
right.
I'm like, you know, but I'm looking at them like, damn, them shoes fly. I'm like, I can't afford them.
And like I said, my morals have just always been different. So how I look at it is, I didn't have it growing up. I really need it now? You know, my wife bought a Christian Dior bag. I was like, you don't need that. I'm arguing with her in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she walked out with it.
So you don't win.
Listen, for weeks and for months.
He beat Usyk, he ain't beat
for weeks and for months, I'm looking at the bag. Every time I come in the house, I'm looking at the bag. First time she got something on the bag, I said, what is that? You know, open it up. What are you keeping in this thing? You know? So why do you need it? You don't. You know, so that's just my moral. That's how I look at it. I was like, you know,
at some
point in time, you want to have fun and all that.
That
kind
bag
of stuff
wouldn't have been in the house.
Yeah, hell no. Hey, Sean, no, I'm probably one of the cheapest people you'll ever meet.
Oh, you ain't meet me yet.
No. Hey, if you see what, he don't know what I drive.
Oh, yeah,
I can afford whatever I want.
Yeah, you don't know what he drive.
I've been trying to get him out of the way he drive for years. Don't care.
And I really don't think it's a sentimental thing with the vehicle. I think it's just he don't give a damn.
I mean, if it's working.
I came from absolutely nothing. So, yeah, I could go for it. I've been at the dealership, was like, yeah, I'm not getting it. I'm out of here. When?
It's work.
Yep. I ain't getting it. But now got the kid, got a little pressure on me. She's like, yeah, my kid's never getting in that car.
So, oh, wow. Yeah, how long have you had it?
It's about 20 years old. Yeah. And it get me from A to B. It breaks down. I fix it up.
And the way I look at it is, at the end of the day, I'm not going to let a vehicle be the reason I can't support my family or can't do what I need to do. I'm not going to let some clothes or some jewelry, anything like that, stop me from being able to, like I told my wife, like, you got no worries. Mm-hmm. The kids are in private school and in daycare. Like, you don't worry about a thing. But if we turn in the Armada that we got for the Porsche Cayenne, whatever it is, Now we might have to have a concern. Mm-hmm. If I can go to sleep and wake up every morning with no concerns, why do I need to change my lifestyle?
No, I'm with you. And that Armada's nice. I'm going to be real. I used to have a 2005, so I'm sure that's like a newer one, and they get bigger and better every time.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, but what you got now?
I got the vet now.
What year?
2021.
But you ain't got a regular one, though. You ain't got a regular one. It don't look regular. It don't look regular. That should look like a souped up. That look like some Floyd Mayweather shit.
Yo, nah, let me tell you.
His father's is the souped up one.
Nah, I ain't trying honestly. That. I ain't trying
no,
that.
No.
You be honestly, you like, be up at 4 a.m. talking boxing. You talking about you?
Yeah, but is your father's the guy? I didn't even know if your father's existed.
You try that every day.
I drive it every day. Oh, I'm not. Ahead, I'm not. I'm not the old Sean, rich you, white man.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you how crazy.
And it's like a. Let me tell you. It's like a little club. It don't matter. I swear to God, it don't matter who you are. If you own a vet, the next vet owner says hello to you. It don't matter if it's the C8, C6, C7. Everybody's like, "Hey, good morning." Right.
No, that's true. I swear to God, yesterday.
That's how I was with the Porsche.
Yo, yesterday we drive. Maybe it was a couple days ago. We driving, and I'm in the car with Ness. And it's like an old vet driving by, right? Yeah. And it's an old lady in it. She just I'm like,
no,
hey,
always,
what the hell?
Always.
You like, she getting at you, nah, it's the vet.
Hey, I'm talking say hi.
No, and the funny thing is that, you know, I've been in the car. Ness is pretty chill in the vet, right? Like, truth be told, he's pretty chill in the vet. But so many people pull up. Women
thinking
especially.
Thinking we going to race, Sean.
Women especially.
Oh, my God.
Women trying to pull up.
Yo, they be trying to get us.
Women
to,
trying to race
him? Oh, my God, no. Look.
I swear, I wish we would have been recorded when that woman did what she did. Because no one believes us, bro. On the 215. It was 215 or 95?
It was a 215.
She just pulls on the highway next
to her. Lowers her window.
Lowers her window.
She's
like, let's go. Let's go. I'm like... Girl.
She was high.
So
what was she in that you can remember?
She had like a scat pack. Hey,
oh,
okay. Charging them.
Yeah, she had something nice.
She was ready to
But the funny thing is, so then Ness turns on the fog machine in the car, and we lower the windows to let her know, look, we chilling, we vibing.
We chilling in this car.
Yeah.
We
don't
It took them a while, y'all.
Your platform as well.
Hey, no, I appreciate you, man. Cause you hit me with a couple of them.
They've been doing it.
She didn't give a damn.
No,
she took off. But I promise you. So like, being moderate and just the times I'm in the car with Ness, I would say at least twice a month somebody tries to race.
And I would tell you this. You said you can afford it and you just don't want to, right? I think it was what interview did we have? Was it Michael Sartain? He changed my way of thinking.
Yes. He said, you know, what it is not that you need to save money. Mm-hmm. What it is that you just need to make more money.
Yeah, but not outside of that, also it's like he explained to me the difference between me and other people that I didn't even see, you know. So, yeah, I tell you I could do 2 shows a day. And, yeah, I tell you I'm passionate about doing it 7 days a week. But my life is not everyone else's. I get up and get in that car. I drove here in that car. You know, so I start my day happy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying that a car is going to bring you happiness. But for me, waking up, starting that motherfucker in the garage and – you know, it make me happy. Then I get to my new studio and I'm even happier. Then I drive to the wind and now I'm happier. Yeah. So it's like, it's about happiness, man.
And don't get me wrong, Ness. Like, it's one of those things, like, I'm the baby out of 7. It's nice to be able, like, I know somebody needs something, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. Like, mom wants for nothing. Dad's gone, but mom wants for nothing. I know my kid, my lady got her own job. And, you know, it frustrates me sometimes because... I mean, I'm like, hey, where your money going? I feel like you're just stunting, getting the Dior bags. Like, but I'm all about saving.
Wait, this turning untitled. Hold up. How long you been with your lady?
7 years?
And y'all don't.
I'm on my phone.
Oh, so wait. So 7 years and yeah. y'all don't split? Like, you just holding it down and she get to do what she want with all of it?
Hey, you don't get me in trouble.
I'm like, oh, Lord, she's listening.
Nah, we can leave it alone. Yo, then I ain't trying to get nobody in trouble.
It's like a 7:30 split, 70-30 okay. split.
Yeah, I'm splitting. Anybody, yo, I'm splitting. Don't date me because we split over here, okay?
Sean, you said it was the two things. Now. What was the second thing?
No. I said the first thing.
Right.
That y'all greedy and y'all need to let other people do some things. And then the other thing was just I wanted to know how much boxing y'all watch and you know, again, like I can only digest so much boxing, especially if it's repetitive. I like to if I'm gonna watch a fight, if it gets repetitive, I turn it off. And because I just know how it's gonna go. And I mean, obviously there are some fighters where it's like you just can't turn it off because you know at any point something's going to land and it's going to change the complexion of the fight, but not 99 times out of 10 is just not that case, you know.
See, that's why I
put a little bit of money on it. See, like $2 parlay, let's say you pick all your favorites, now you invested a little bit more and you want that person
like,
to win
I'm
a little
honest
bit
with
more.
You, champ, yesterday we saw the Terry Harper and Hannah Rankin fight,
yeah.
No way in hell we would have been as invested if we didn't have money on the line.
No, we probably wouldn't have even watched it live, called that action.
That was
live.
The ESPN Plus, right?
The Zone. No, ESPN Plus,
yeah,
right.
ESPN okay. Plus, yeah.
There's no way we would have called that
fight. I
was
in and out with them fights. I just, no disrespect to them, but yeah.
No, like, and
in theory, that was a good fight. You know, Terry Harper was moving up after a knockout to Bumgarner. Moving up two divisions.
Hannah Rankin
was
coming
IBO
off,
champion.
Coming off a knockout, a vicious knockout where the young lady was in a coma for a couple. So she coming off a big knockout victory. The other girl coming off a big knockout loss.
Right.
And Rankin has all the experience. She's been in there with Clarissa. She's been in there with Marshall. So, I was wishfully hoping she would do better. I thought I had another upset because I knew Maxie was gonna win. So I figured Rankin is gonna. This girl's moving up, but Terry was so much faster. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So much faster. She was in and out. Good movement.
But needless to say, we probably, you know, might not have watched it had a few dollars not been on the line.
It just makes it a little bit more interesting. Keeps you at least invested.
Where's
not
Sean?
Telling you to gamble, man.
Busy.
Okay.
Yeah. I text him coming up here, and I didn't hear back from him until I got into the studio, so... We kind of like week to week now. If he's got time and all that kind of stuff, he comes in. But it's been a couple weeks since he's been out.
That spot, if y'all need
I mean, it looked like I don't know. We pretty comfortable right here. I did.
He always slides slick shit in.
Now, I was hoping he was here because I took his spot
with me
with Ness.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh so, yeah, cause yeah.
So that was, and I really just thought that would have been so cool have
full circle.
You know, for sure. You know, Sean and myself both. You know, Ness made a lot happen for us. So you know, and I was just talking to your father. I remember before I was even media, they're opening the doors to the gym. I was just a fan that would come to all the events and shit. And now we're here. So
yeah, man.
Appreciate you, champ. And I do love those shoes. I ain't gonna lie. Those clean. I don't have. Yeah,
let me just touch back because my audience is dogging me here. So I just want to be clear and say that there were good Dominican fighters like Joan Guzman, but his name is tainted. He's missed historically 3 or 4 big weights. Mm-hmm. He was dropped from numerous promoters for missing weight. Mm-hmm. He couldn't be trusted. His name is getting glory again because of what he did with Jermell Charlo and Derrick James in that undisputed fight. Outside of that, Jason Rosario, again, unified champ, but notoriously known for, you know,
I mean,
his camp
at,
habits, and he got knocked out by a jab.
Javier Fortuna
missing weight.
Shouldn't be a 40-pounder. He's a 40-pounder because he can't make weight.
Right,
like,
right.
You know,
Michelle Rivera, Hector Garcia, Alberto Puello, these are the new crop. These are the guys that we will give an opportunity to change our opinion over Dominican boxing. And shout out to that young lady, Sean Boxing from the Dominican Republic. She's putting a lot of guys on. But, you know, there is a perception of Dominican boxing, and, you know, hopefully these guys can change it. But, you know, I can't be faulted for telling you the truth. Like,
Sean, I'm curious. You guys might have talked about it before we came in, but who impressed you the most Friday night on that Top Rank card? Outside of the main event.
It got to be Shushu.
Yeah, we can talk about it a little bit. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, I mean, yeah, let's start with Shushu. Yeah. Let's go ahead with Bruce Carrington. Who wants to start it off?
No, I mean,
did you watch the fights, right?
Yes, to me, I would say Shushu as well. I just wanted to talk about, you know, the way that he was able to just turn that fight around once he hurt his right hand. And I say turn it around because he just took control using one hand.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, he should have been doing that from the beginning.
Just a jab.
Setting it up. Like, look, when his hand got hurt, he looked better. Not to say that he didn't look amazing on the inside, showing us those uppercuts and the body work, but, like, you made your job easier. Yeah. And to me, it looked better. Like, yes, again, I love to see you look like a boots on the inside, but when he was here and pivoting, and that's what I like. Yeah. Art. Yeah. I don't know. But I like boxers.
You and Carson like this. He like okay. Carson's like he don't like Sean Porter style.
I think a lot of guys.
I actually love Porter. I've been asking other professional fighters, would we ever see another Porter? I don't think we'll ever see another Porter style. I'm hope your father can, you know, do that with someone else, but I don't.
He got two kids.
Hopefully. I would, you know, your dad said he put you in and your brother in the gym at 4 and 5. Your son's 4, bro. What's up? Give him to your grandpa. Give him to a grandpa, man. Let grandpa have Sundays with him.
And his son can't survive Kenny Porter.
Nice.
Nah,
bro. Grandpas get mushy, man. When it's the grandson, they get soft, man. Yeah. I don't even think Ken could be Ken with his grandson.
My sons have sparring headgear and gloves.
Uh-oh.
I bought them about a month ago, give or take.
Oh, nice.
And Diggy is the 4-year-old. He loves throwing them on. Adonai, and Ant knows this, is the 2-year-old, and we call him Pooh Bear. But he seemed like he going to be the tank. He seemed like he going to be the one that's just going.
He built like Sean Porter.
If I say go play football, he going to go play football. If I say go play basketball, he going to just kind of do whatever. Shaddai is a little bit more into everything. He's real. His mom is in the arts, so he's artsy too. And all that. At the end of the day, I asked him just yesterday, are you going to box? And he said, no. But he said, no, because that's what mommy and daddy have always told him. Yeah. You're not boxing.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point of my dad putting me in the gym when I was 4, I said, shoot, let me get this stuff now. If this something he interested in or want to do, we're going to find out now.
Yeah. And they say the younger, the easier it is to learn and absorb. But, yeah, that's interesting. Now, would you want to be like your dad was with you and you be the trainer because it's your son and you want to be protective? Or do you think you could release that to someone like your father or someone else?
The way that my dad did it with me and what my dad got me to understand about why it was always he and I, we, is what I know and understand. And so I would do the same thing with my son.
So you would turn to a trainer?
Of course I would.
Would you allow your dad to be a part of that?
Of course I would allow my dad to, you know, hey, did you show him this yet? Did you show him that yet?
The Porter way, you know? Baby. I'm excited because honestly, Malik, he doesn't like to hear it, but he is kind of like the Porter way is rubbing off on Malik, but he's small.
Yeah.
He's not. He doesn't have that backup that you got. You need that genetics, man, to be a Porter. You know,
touch me like that again, I'm glory.
Yo, you seen him? How much he moved?
He said, "I'll floor you." He said, "I'll floor you." Hey man, if that takes you getting back in the ring. Hey, they'll love it.
I would love it.
But back to Shushu real quick, because I thought Shushu looked great. And then a couple of things that Dre said through the course of the night. He said he's doing things that he should not be doing. And I kind of, even coming here, I was like, should I text this to Dre or should I just say it? I'm going to just go ahead and say it. I think that he expressed that incorrectly. I think instead of saying this, he's doing things that he should not be doing, I think he should have been saying something along the lines of he's doing very advanced things that most guys can't do. And that's what he meant.
Absolutely.
But it kind of stuck out to me that he kept saying he's doing things that he shouldn't be doing. I think that kind of may give somebody,
but I think he meant at this level.
Yeah, 100%.
At this level of the stages of his progression.
Yeah,
but is that Shushu? He's special.
Shushu is very special. He's very committed. And I thought about this again coming in here today. The fact that when I met Shushu, it was at the Barclays, and I was fighting at the Barclays. All my fights were at the Barclays between 2016 and 2018. Every time I saw him there, and this is what I think is the point. Every time I had a fight in Brooklyn, he was at the weigh-in. He was at the press conference, and then he was, you know, just hanging around. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like he was just trying to be seen. It wasn't like he was just trying to be a hanger-on. He just was engulfing himself in the sport. Mm-hmm. He was really just taking it all in and really just trying to see it for himself. And I remember doing this at a Floyd fight. He's walking out to the ring, and the crowd gets super, super loud. And for some reason, this thought came to my mind. What are you going to do if the crowd is this loud when you have to fight Floyd, is what I was thinking at that point in time. Close my eyes right there in the arena so that I could feel that moment. And I felt like Shushu back in the day, that's what he was doing. He was just trying to feel it. He was trying to live in it, even though he was years away from it. And now that you see he's in it, he's years beyond where we expect him to be, mm-hmm. or where we say he should be. And he's just beyond. And the other thing that Dre said is that he feels like he's the furthest along of any of the newcomers right now. And I agree with all of that, you know?
And I think that's
more than Keyshawn?
I think his style is just a little different. I think he's a little more disciplined than Keyshawn. Mm.
They're neck and neck.
I think that's going to go neck and neck.
Discipline, like defensively, or you mean like physically?
Discipline in terms of, I just, something that I can see. It looks like Shushu just stays very focused, doesn't waver from whatever is being told to him in the corner, whatever the case may be. And I think that Keyshawn may land a punch, or he may make the guy miss. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with, you know, you're smiling at another fighter, you're making any type of antics to get under that fighter's skin, anything like that at all. Nothing like that at all. But maybe he's just a little more free than
more
Bruce is in the ring.
More confident.
Than Bruce is in the
ring.
Braggadocious. I guess maybe at this point,
he's
going to
let you know
as,
he whooping your ass.
Yeah. I just look at it as who's more disciplined.
You got to understand, he's training with BOMAC and that team. And, you know, Crawford's known to give you a mean stare, stick out his tongue. Like, that's kind of a...
The cool part about that marriage is that's where he comes from, Keyshawn. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the exact same. So he fits into the program flawlessly.
Yeah, and we were fortunate to see him close out camp here, and just seeing that marriage with BOMAC and with Coach Red and the team, and
yeah.
How very little needs to be said, mm-hmm. but so much, mm-hmm. You know, is being...
It's still being given.
You know, still there. Being yeah. delivered, you yeah. know.
I just yep. like that they yep. utilize the time from the beginning to the end, you know?
There you go. In the gym?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was not.
I see guys
gym,
come
man.
And you know you sit in and they talk. And it takes you about 20 minutes to lace up your boots.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. But I was checking. I met Shushu, Chris Colbert, and Richardson Hitchens in 2013 at the Nonito Donaire press conference. And you know, I just bring that up because you said he's been hanging around, soaking it in, and they've been like that for a while, and it's just amazing. That those three young men so long ago were amateurs with all these titles in that press conference, but they've all become pros and were able to live out their dream, you know, because when I met them 9 years ago,
yeah,
they were amateurs.
Yeah.
And, you know, you meet a lot of amateurs, don't mean you're going to be pro. Don't mean you're going to sign an Al Haymon. Don't mean you're going to sign a top rank.
Don't mean you're going to make the Olympic team or, exactly. you know, things like that.
Both of them guys, Keyshawn and Bruce, both are very ambitious. And it goes so far in this sport where people are always telling you what to do, what not to do, when you can fight, when you can't, who and all that. For you to be ambitious, have goals, and make sure people around you are going to take care of you and make sure that you reach your goals and you reach your potential, it always starts with the fighter first. And I didn't know that for a long time, but the fighter has more control than most of them realize that they do, that they have. And if they're willing to take control of their careers, they're going to get in all of the fights that they want to be in. They're going to have all of the main stages that they want to have. And they'll be put in prime positions. And that's what Keyshawn and Bruce both are going to do. They're going to make sure they get put in special positions and moments that are going to make them shine. And on top of all that, the records of the guys that they fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that that's amazing too.
Yeah, no, yo, I mean, they're definitely stepping Keyshawn up.
I was just telling us, like, the guy Keyshawn fought Friday night, most people might have not known that he had a couple losses. I saw him get robbed here in Vegas a couple years ago, champ. Yeah. And I'm like, damn. And the guy he fought then was the guy that we all know. So I'm sitting back. I'm like, he's fighting a tough vet, somebody with experience, things like that. So definitely being moved against tough competition. They're not throwing those guys in there against anybody. Even Floyd Diaz, he said, I think his first couple fights.
He's never fought anyone with two losses.
Yeah, it's only been one loss or undefeated fighters.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Top Rank, you know, I used to hate on them, but they've changed it. They've turned it around. They're invested in the future. In at least boxing's next 5 to 7 years.
I love that. I love literally investing in the future.
Al hasn't got Olympians since the whole 2012 crop.
Right.
So,
but just investing
They had the Balderas and then gave him back to Top Rank.
Well, it was always a Richard Schaefer
thing. Oh, yeah, Richard Schaefer, you're right.
You're dropping a lot of names over here, man. We got to go.
And name droppers.
Yeah.
Dropping
all these names.
We try to be informative to
the
people.
Yeah, that's how we're doing, just being educational.
Hey, what I heard was, we just trying to get you in trouble. That's all.
How? We're just telling you who's promoting who, who's signing who.
Yeah. Richard Schaefer was the guy.
He was. He still is if you know, if Pro Bellum can resurface.
He's the guy who coined the Porter way.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Shout out to Richard Schaefer. Do we owe him some money?
No.
I ain't trying to get sued because he got money behind him.
No.
We and good. If we get sued, we putting a Corvette up.
No, but yeah, we did a press conference. It was, I think it was my fight with Keith Thurman, I think.
Okay.
But he used to say, you know, he was explaining who me and my dad are. And he said, you know, they just have a different way of doing things. He says the way they do things is like, I don't know. It's like they have their own way. It's the Porter way. Mm. I'm like sitting there at the press conference, the light bulb comes over my head. I was like, I'm going to use that someday, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you think it'd be for a podcast?
Hell no.
That's crazy.
I came to these guys with a whole bunch of names, some creative names for the podcast.
Yeah,
and Carson, simple as he can be, simple-minded guy, said, why don't we just use your name? Like, why don't we do something with your name?
Yeah.
I said, damn, my dad said the same thing about my... And I said, all right, then we'll just go with the Porter way.
So I got to ask, retired now. You're doing this. Obviously got the family. How's the acting been going? And you got anything brewing with that? I know you was doing a little acting classes and doing
man.
Your thing. And
it's a work in progress.
Okay.
I haven't had anybody really come at me with an opportunity that is ready to go.
But do you have, like, a Hollywood agent?
No, I don't have an Hollywood agent. I'm just...
Yeah, so how you going to get an acting gig without a...
Tell him, Ness.
Slow down. I'm connected with some people in Hollywood. But my thing is, I don't want to do a cameo. I never want to play Sean Porter in a film. I don't want to be myself. I want to be a character. I want to act. I want to get people to look at me as somebody else. For that whole 90 minutes to 2 hours that they're watching me.
I think you need
to
contact 50 Cent. He got a lot going on. I'm sure you could get on something, man.
I have a plan for myself, you know, and the few films that I am connected to right now, just waiting on funding for those films and things like that. So I'm trying to make it work.
Would you be a detective on Power?
Mm-hmm.
You look like a snitch.
This guy is terrible.
You got a little iced tea in you.
When I snitch on you.
Sean, did you already give your thoughts on Shakur? Because I wanted yours being
Go ahead.
Well, I wanted yours being as though you had to cut the braid. He lost his belts. It's not necessarily the same because you made the weight. But, like, how bad do you think it was that he said no to the extra 2 hours?
It was 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And he had to give up money.
Yeah.
So it's like it's not like you don't know what's coming to you if you don't get off the pound and a half.
And you have to give
one,
up the belt.
One pound, six
Seven
ounces.
Ounces. 6 ounces, 1 pound, 6 ounces. And so the way I looked at it as because I've been in this position before with that fight. And I was having a hard time getting weight off. And it started to bother me mentally. It started to bother me emotionally. I was like, my weight ain't moving. This has never happened. What's going on? Am I done with 147, right? So I wake up the morning of the weigh-in, my weight wasn't what I needed to be. I'm like, at this point, I'm mentally exhausted. I'm emotionally exhausted. I'm like, man, F it, right? So we go to the scale, already knowing that, we're overweight, already knowing that it's going to be 2 hours. But for me, I had checked out. I was like, I'm getting on the scale. I don't know if I'm going to lose this weight. And so between leaving the venue where we did the weigh-in and going to the gym where we went to lose the weight, between that time, I was checked out. And shout out to Marcus Watson. He was rolling with me and my dad. And my dad was having a little bit of a heated conversation in the front, whatever. And I hadn't told my dad, but I basically was checked out, just going through the motions at this point. And Marcus, in the back seat, he leans up and he kind of gives me this pep talk. I'm like, all right, boom, I'm gonna make it. You know, so I do. I think that he mentally checked out of making the weight. And then once he knew that what it was going to take, even though it was going to take 2 hours or whatever, I think he was just like, no, I'm good. I don't need these belts anyway. I'm gonna move up to 135. You can't stop me from being great tomorrow night. And if anything, me trying to lose more weight is only gonna not allow me to perform the way I can. So I think it was I think he had checked out of 130. And I think that, you know, there's really not much competition for him at 130 to begin with.
I wanna say that I feel like that's Top Rank's fault. They didn't give him the motivation needed. He wanted to be undisputed, but there's a few comments from Bob where he's like, it's not worth undisputing with the leftover champions that are there. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, mm-hmm. you know, like, mm-hmm. Who is it, Uagua and Cordina?
It's Joe Cordina and then
Hector.
Dominican brethren.
Yeah, Hector. So obviously the Hector fight would be tough because it's
PBC.
Top Rank PBC. The Cordina fight is possible because it's Matchroom. But, you know, Bob basically made it seem like those ain't big fights. Why be undisputed? How do you feel about that, being that close to undisputed?
At least halfway there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
what I
said. I
mean, more than half with the ring, man.
It's just what I said about Bruce and Keyshawn. If I'm ambitious and you know what my goals are you going to put me in the right positions to achieve my goals? Mm-hmm. I had a personal conversation with Keyshawn. I said, yo, what's going on? Is it you or who is it? He says, no, man, they know what I want. And they give me what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But
yeah,
he made sure he made sure that people were in position to do that. He wasn't giving his career and all of that to just anybody, you know?
We asked him specifically.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but not saying that that's what Shakur did.
No, for sure.
But I don't think Shakur's got the right person to get that that energy to do what you need to do.
We asked Keyshawn specifically because he chose to be with BoMac, and he's seen what happened with Crawford, and he knows that there's a lawsuit, but he feels like he's different than Crawford because he comes with the amateur background. He comes with the silver medalist, so he feels like a silver medal. He feels like Top Rank already knows what they have in them, and with Crawford, they had to find out on the job.
He felt that Crawford had to prove himself on the job versus he says, you know, I come with the silver medal. I'm mm-hmm. proving we in different situations.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, like quite interesting given that Terrence Crawford, your main gym mate, if you will, is currently suing the promoter he chose to sign with.
I think if you looked at film of Terrence Crawford before you signed him, you say this is going to be a really good lightweight fighter. I don't know if he's going to knock guys out. I don't know if he's going to be exciting. And then he ends up being all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, to a degree, Keyshawn may be right in the sense that they really maybe underestimated what they had and then realized that they couldn't move what they had the way he needed to be moved, you know? So, yeah, I think that Keyshawn, again, he's much more vocal than Terrence is.
I think it's something else that we are seeing today is that, yo, I've been hearing Keyshawn's name before, mm-hmm. you know, he turned pro, before the Olympics, before all of that, because he came up with those Shakurs, with those Richardson Hitchens that would talk about, you know, those guys. And now Shakur does it now with little Manny Chance, Emmanuel mm-hmm. Chance, and keeps their young guys. And he's like, yo, he the next one. So it's
yo,
like,
and that's so beautiful to see. I know Emmanuel.
He trains
at the same gym I told you about in New Jersey.
They uh-huh. keep not just putting it in our brands, but in the promoter's brand. Like, Keyshawn's like, he's already told me of fighters that he keep telling the promoter about.
Or that he has told.
Or that he has
like
told
him
already.
Like him and Shakur had you know, vouched for Jarrett. Like, you know, that's your next future heavyweight. Yeah. So that's a good reference, you know, to have a Shakur and a Keyshawn.
You guys heard about the website that I'm creating or have already created?
You told me a little bit about it.
Amateurboxingchampions.com. And then we're still waiting on some credentials and things like that to come from Apple so that we can have the app finalized. But first opportunity we have now to get with these amateur elite fighters, top one and two is what we're going to get to start off. But we want to do top four because a lot of some of those guys that may not be the Olympian or may not be the alternate may end up being better than the Olympian, you know. So we want to do top four, but we're going out to interview these guys, have a one-on-one interview, nice background, good setting and all that kind of stuff. And it'd be just like the stuff you see on the ESPN or you see Showtime, them little exclusives that they do on us before we get in the ring on fight night. These guys are going to tell their stories. They're going to tell us where they come from and how long they've been fighting and what their plans are and why they do this. Everything that you get from us that gets you invested and wanting to see us succeed, I want to give it to everybody when they're amateurs, when they're young. That way, when they are Keyshawn turning pro, you're like, man, this kid, I've been hearing everything about him. I've been seeing highlights. I saw him at the World Championships, this, and so on and so forth. We're going to have all that on that platform.
What's got you interested in that?
I call it the LeBron James effect. And what the LeBron James effect is, short and sweet, is how was LeBron when you first heard about him? He was about 17, 18. 17. I had at that point, when I was 17, I went to Morocco under 19 World Championships. I had fought against a couple of other countries and had done everything that you could do as an amateur fighter, even just at 17 years old, national tournaments and so on and so forth. What's different between LeBron and Showtime Sean Porter is the platform and the sport. This basketball gives you so much of who's coming, gives you so much of what's going to be great that's next, and boxing does not give you that. Boxing gives you the Olympic Games, and then boxing gives
not
you...
Not no more.
Yeah, and then and then boxing gives you, here's your prospect. Here's the guy that just came out, and he's supposed to be next.
You're absolutely right. I say it on the show all the time. There is no path in boxing.
None.
Right now, your son... If you want to put him in the NFL, you know what you have to do with your son up until that point.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
In boxing, the poor kids ain't even going to get the Olympics no more. Yeah. Like that shit truly breaks my heart, and it makes it so hard for these guys to really show themselves, to really get to where they need to get to, because sometimes if you don't have – like we've had promoters tell us, but that guy just got the better look, so we took him because, you know, he's more marketable. Yeah, I know he lost to so-and-so in the amateurs, but he's just more marketable. You know, he looked better.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's so hard for the up-and-coming fighter who does want that opportunity. So shout out to you, champ. Look forward to seeing, you know, what you make happen.
I'm gonna encourage you to go a step further, and I would love to be part of it. But you should do your own tournament, man. You know how they're. I don't really want to shout out the other people, but I have to.
I did think about the Portaway tournament.
Like there's a Sugar Bird. You know what I mean? Not only do you have a platform where you can live stream it, but you are who you are, so it'll be a little bit easier for you to, you know, entice sponsors, and more people will fight for you.
Yeah.
Because of your name. Not and then like he said, we don't have the Olympics anymore, you know what I mean? So there's only a few amateur tournaments that mean things to these kids, which are Sugar Birds, Golden Gloves, Nationals, and I don't know, you would tell me.
Kyle, maybe.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
imagine there was a Porter Wave, you would become instantly one of the top five.
How many people didn't y'all just have for the 100th episode in person? Which, shout out, that's something that we've wanted to do for a very long time.
Go on stage.
Take my hat off.
We want to do a three-city tour. We've been wanting to do that for a while, man.
We've been working on something, too.
Hey, man, you know what? We need to team up and go on tour.
Hey, I'll open up for y'all. I don't care.
No.
I'll open up.
We can alternate. One person do it?
No, we literally, I kid you not, like, that's
Joe Buttons. That's been something
I've been actively working on, but it's you know, and shout out to the whole team, but like it's me and Ness, and it's hard, you know, when we got a million things going on, and we have a great team,
you know, shout out to everybody, but it's really hard. But that's something I've been, you know, trying to work on because we have such a great audience, literally globally, you know, and people hit us up all the time. And whenever, you know, I go to events or he's gone, you know, they treat us like family. So I think that's the least we could do is to give back, you know, to the fans and to the kids, you know.
But I would love for you to do a tournament, man.
Yeah.
I think you could get that off. WBC, I'm sure, would get involved, or other sanctioning bodies, too. I think, I know you got a lot. Maybe you need, like, you know, CEO of the Port-A-Way. You need a CEO of the Port-A-Way. But, yeah, you, there's definitely a bunch of avenues that you can open up. Are you staying in Vegas post-retirement?
I'm here, man. I never thought I would be here. We moved here in 2013. And then it was like, why would I go anywhere else? Like, exactly. I'm in Southern Highlands and ain't much going on out there. Pandemic happened and it was like, go down the street, get your food, go back right back home. You know, it was fairly easy for me. Definitely heart goes out to everybody who did struggle through the pandemic. But I just have never had any struggles out here. And it's like, why would I go anywhere else? You know,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to be here, I mean,
we need to talk about this three city tour because I'm with it.
What cities have you checked your analytics? What cities are you strong in?
So my thing was I wanted to do like big fights. When there's a big fight, Friday night, when there's nothing really going on, come out to the show after the weigh-in.
Absolutely.
Everybody come out to the show.
Absolutely.
What's really going on is you got a dog at your house.
Yeah, I do that dog. But they can't see it on camera. You a snitch. Yeah. I told you it looked like a damn iced tea.
Hey, hold on. If he just called you out on the show, I know he didn't call Sean out before too. Because Sean got the big old dogs.
Oh. No, I got to leave Sean alone.
Oh, Sean got dogs?
You talking about Zatel?
Yeah, Sean got dogs.
I got to leave Sean alone.
Okay.
Yeah, right. on.
You don't mess with Sean?
No, he can handle it.
Yeah, it is what it is, man. I'm the baby out of seven. Ain't nothing there. I've been clowned on all my life.
Wait, so Sean gets too sensitive?
He'll think you're taking it serious.
He'll think you're taking it serious.
Maybe it's what I feel about Sean. Maybe I feel he would take it too serious. So I just never, I never really poked. You know, too much. But
see,
this one right here. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. We was talking about the tour.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
I don't know that y'all could hang with us in a sense of, you know, Sean is a very successful man who probably travels a lot more. You know, because we was thinking, like, we're going to get a Sprinter or a tour bus and, you know, do behind the scenes.
We're going to get
the spades games and the dice games going on the bus.
Actually, he with all that. Me, I'm like, I'll meet y'all there.
Oh, you'd rather fly?
Yeah, I ain't got time for that shit. I'm not coming here to play no damn spades. Let's go work. Sean with all that. Bro, we was going to San Diego. He's like, hey, you know what would be sweet? I said, what? We get an RV and cruise down there. I said,
Dale's been trying to get an RV.
Get your ass out of here, man. We're going to hit the road, and you ain't a part of it.
Nah. If y'all want to do that, man.
Look, man, to me, it's just... The thing is, people don't understand that Sean Porter is a man outside of the ring, outside of the show. And Sean Porter plays with his kids and plays games or watches the football game and does whatever he does. And we try to show that a little bit, and I know that we're different, but for me, it was like the tour. I'm like, man, that's the whole aspect. We hit the road. We did it for Shakur. We hit the road. You know, we try to get some
footage. His last fight?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because he chose
to... We opened up camp with him.
He chose to stay in Houston for camp, so we hit the road 20 hours. And I was trying to put something together. It was just too last minute, so didn't have a Sprinter. We had a, you know, the Honda Accord.
It is what it is.
He wasn't putting that on his car, huh?
Well, I got the second
car. Can't fit the suitcases.
Did y'all pull up with the fog lights?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you best believe it, baby.
I'm all about the fog lights. I ain't never heard that one before. That was fly.
You know, but, yeah.
Are y'all going to Deontay Wilder and Robert Hellenius?
In New York? Well, I don't know. So here's a tip. For growth, you want to be in studio on the night of the fight, because that's when people are searching that fight. So we're normally in studio because my goal is to grow. Unless you have multiple Dannys who can be
at the actual fight,
like Sean's.
Now, I will say, and I'm going to say it live, because from my mouth to God's ears, I will say, if we had the ability to be a Sean Porter, who I've seen you ringside do,
you do your thing.
Best believe we would be doing that. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, we just wanna do the fight chat, and we know in person is more impactful.
Yeah, sure.
So I've seen you, and I've texted us. I'm like, damn, man, they got Sean internet, man. They said fuck us. But if we had that option, we would absolutely be on the road.
All the fights.
If it was me, Ness, I'm not going to say he holds me. I love being at the fights. You get what I'm saying? To me,
that's his name, Ringwalk.
I would love to do that and be able to be there. But something like what you said, we've done things similar in the past. Ness has thrown the appreciation nights.
Yeah.
And he typically does, but that's like a big party. Not like a show, but a big party. And he'll do that like the night before a big fight. Mm-hmm. I know you've done like, before Word Kovalev, before I think your fight, right?
Actually, wasn't it? I think it was Danny Thurman.
But, so we've done things like that. And doing the show in person, when we saw you do it, I'm like, damn. Because that's something that we was just talking about. Like, mm-hmm. Hopefully in the next year we could get a tour off.
So it was 100 people?
The live shows that we do?
Yes.
Yeah. 50 to 75. Yeah. 75.
Yeah.
That was dope. And that space was perfect. Yeah. Your chair was amazing.
It's called the space.
I couldn't see shit.
Why? Because it's dark.
It was a throne. So we had the screen behind us, and I couldn't turn around and look.
Yeah, but the chair still was dope.
And it was nice because I'm big in the community giving back. So I was able to bring the kids on.
I seen that.
And the kind of crossover. Like those guys didn't read. Now they're like, man. They knew who Bud was. Some of them didn't know who Sean was, mm-hmm. but now they're watching and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Because at the end of the day, that's the biggest thing with boxing. People don't even know.
Yeah, that's exactly the point.
Then I saw you brought, who'd you bring on?
Sean
Marion as well. So you was able to bring, somebody outside of boxing that, people may know. No, man, I'm all with it. Port away TBV. On the road.
Yeah, let's take it on the road.
Well, here, let's say, because I know we got to get out of here soon.
They probably tripping.
Yeah, we got to get out of here.
They ain't hit him up in the ear. You hear that? You see that, Danny? They ain't getting no message from
them. Oh, no, they be getting this?
No, to be fair, though, it's usually Bo. It's usually our producer that's in the ears.
Yeah, because y'all just be talking.
No, they got to tell us like 5 minutes out, 10 minutes out, 15.
Y'all just be talking.
Because we talk.
If not,
seen that we do. We go when there's big fights, pay per view fights, and all that. We will go to the fight site and we'll do a show.
Yes,
a live show at the weigh-in. We've seen that. Yes.
How do you get that internet though? Are you just winging it? Like if they have Wi-Fi,
no, hey, don't give it up to him.
No, hold on. Actually, no, you're right. I'd rather he tell us off air.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
True. Being totally serious, I'd rather he tell us off air.
I would be afraid to go live on Wi-Fi from over there. Like,
no, we got our own stuff.
Yeah, we're going to talk off air, Sean.
Yeah,
TBV, Portaway Connect, baby.
Let me say, I'll do my closing.
Nah,
and then you do your closing. Or you want to do vice versa?
No, I'm going to just say my Instagram. I mean, it's your show.
Do your Instagram.
NessGTO, Instagram and Twitter. Catch us on the next one.
Ringwalk Danny, we are the Boxing Voice. Do appreciate Sean Porter and the Porter Way. Thank you very much for having us. We truly appreciate it.
Absolutely. I forgot. Oh, I was like, damn, I forgot what I was going to say. I'm going to just tell it. Long story short, when I started the podcast, about a year before I started the podcast, I had been hearing about podcasts. I was like, something I might want to get into. The pandemic happens. I go out and get all this equipment, and I'm like, I want to be ready when they say we're going to do the show remote, mm-hmm. inside PVC Boxing, remote. That ended up not happening, and then I was like, well, I got all this equipment. Let me start a podcast. Started a podcast with these guys, but essentially, I love radio. I love TV. I love live stuff, and that's why I do this.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's some people out there in the boxing world, in the media world, they feel threatened by what I'm doing. Well, Sean, you got Fox and you got The Zone, you got this and that. Why are you doing this too?
Really?
Why are you stepping in our world? You know what I mean? You went from being a fighter, now you taking over what we do.
Really?
I got a feeling that that's some conversations that have been had, and I don't know who it is, whatever the case may be, but my thing was, I'm a good guy. I treat everybody with respect. I don't look at anybody like they're any less than I am, no matter what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You've never been on Fox. Nobody at Fox has ever talked to you. I'm not going to not let you have you on my show today and not let you talk as much as you want to talk. I know you. You're a good guy. I know you know what you're talking about. Let's get on here and let's have fun. Mm-hmm. So for me, today was simply, it was funny that the mistake happened last week, and I was like, well, shit, let's just do something for real this time around. And so I wanted wanted to have y'all on the show. Came in here, I was like, I don't know how this show was going to go at all. We usually do our recap and all that kind of stuff. I know y'all like to just talk.
Yes.
I'm like, one of the two is going to happen. We might get a little bit of both. You know what I mean? Yeah, so
we definitely not traditional.
At the end of the day, man, I want to thank y'all for coming on to the Portaway Podcast and allowing us to be on the Boxing Voice. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this a little bit more. Sound like we're going to have some off-air conversations as well.
Absolutely. About to take a bitch on tour.
No
problem. You best believe it, bro.
Which I got no problem with. But at the end of the day, I just want everybody to see that just because we're in the boxing game, just because we all do the same things, there's definitely a sense of competition. But at the end of the day, if I'm not helping you further the sport, then I'm holding the sport back. You know what I mean?
No, and I actually want to say thank you for obviously everything you've done, but specifically the Portaway, because when you were saying what you were saying, you know, when you started this, I was happy. And I was, in a way, grateful, because what people don't realize, what we do, you know, traditional media looks down on.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets frowned upon.
Yep.
Right, you at the fights now, you've been there as a fighter, now you're there on the other side of it commentating. You see the media that's in the first couple rows is the media you don't see in the gyms. It's the riders, it's cool, you know, and things like that. But you,
the ones that ain't putting in the work,
but you stepping into this field, I feel like in the eyes of many people have now made it acceptable or okay. And I feel like people have now respected the work that I've put in, Ness has put in, Sean Zatel, the Ben Thompson, you know, all the platforms that there is, because for a lot of time, there was a lot of pushback.
Yeah.
And you stepping into it like, YouTube media, what you mean? This the wave, this the new.
I want everybody to understand that this is necessary in order for the sport to elevate. Mm-hmm. If we don't have guys like y'all just getting on and talking about boxing, and guys like me, I have the ability to reach other athletes and other entertainers and things like that, which is a big goal for me for the Portaway Podcast. But at the end of the day, man, I've always respected what y'all did, because I understood that y'all do the footwork, you know. So whenever I was having a fight on Fox, I did the Fox thing, and then it was like, okay, where's my guys that I talk to all the time, you know. So that's it, man. I just want to be a conduit for this sport. And for anybody who's involved with this sport doing any good things, Ant, or you got anything, Ant with two T's?
Nah, man, I appreciate you guys coming on. Like I said, man, you guys are hard workers. How many shows y'all did today?
That's the first one.
So y'all doing two more?
We canceled
this morning because we figured we'd do the recap with y'all. So
what y'all do? 5 days a week? 6 days
Seven.
A week?
Seven.
Damn.
Monday through Friday, we go.
Yeah, because look, you see, and that's the reaction we get all the time. We get that all the time. But think about it. Aren't you going to watch the fight anyway?
Yeah.
So might as well be live.
But and then don't you want to talk about it the next morning and shit?
Yeah.
So now, typically we go 8 a.m. It used to be 4 p.m. on Sundays. But I told him, I'm like, look, I watch football, bro. Yeah. I don't care about you.
He's into those other sports.
Yeah. And just being honest, like, it's America's sport. You know, they own a day of the week. Let's get our Sunday morning show out the way. Talk about Saturday night's fights before the game start on Sunday. So we'll go from like 8 to 9:30, 10 a.m. Pacific. Saturday is fight dependent. This week it was Friday and Saturday. So Friday we had 6 a.m., 12 p.m., and then 4 p.m. for the top rank card. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just depends, but definitely 7 days a week.
Okay.
For the most part.
Working. Yeah, so, man, it's just a...
I think earlier this year we had went like 93 days, like no days off.
And I mean, nobody putting in the grind like you guys. So, yeah, the sport appreciates you guys.
Thank you, man.
And, man, you know, it all came full circle. I remember watching interviews on your channel, watching Sean. I didn't watch Sean like once before I met him, but same thing with you. I think it's like all went full circle. And it's like we all here at the table now. Let's everything happened for a reason. Let's make this bitch happen.
Let's do it.
I always end with motivation. And so just the little bit that we just did led me to what I would call my formula for success. Hard work plus discipline plus faith equals success. You need hard work. You need dedication. You need discipline. And you need faith. In order to be successful. I know I left dedication out the first one, but
Without those four things, I don't believe that anybody can reach the potential. And I do believe that just in this 2 hours, 2.5 hours that we've been kicking it, you could hear all of that through back and forth with this table. You hear the dedication, you hear the hard work, you hear the faith, and you hear the discipline. I mean, every day of the week to do something, discipline. You know, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but for y'all, just understand that for me to be successful, I needed faith, hard work, dedication, and discipline. If you got any questions, hit us up in the comments. I'll be glad to go into more detail with that. Maybe I'll do it next week. I'll write it down so I won't forget, but this is The Port Away. See y'all later.
Peace.
Thank you.
A nature trail is more than a path. It's a place for weekend laughter, moments of self-reflection, or a much-needed breath of fresh air. With All Trails Plus, you can plan your next hike, ride, or run with confidence, so you can relax and enjoy the journey. All Trails Plus gives you all the info you need in one place, so you can make the most of your time outdoors. Quickly discover new trails near you and spend less time driving and more time on the trail with the Distance Away feature. And get immersive trail previews and 3D views so you know what to expect before your first step. Want to go where cell service can't? Download the map to keep your route in hand and never get lost, even offline. You can even get alerts if you take an unexpected turn. There's a trail out there for everyone. Get outside today with 3 free months of All Trails Plus. Just use code PODCAST23 at alltrails.com/podcast. That's 3 months free at alltrails.com/podcast with code PODCAST23.